Netflix continues its content domination with the announcement of an Ingress anime, and I'm resisting the use of any puns to continue this intro read. Stay tuned for this and plenty more news starting right now in the show, where every enlightened hacker has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Orange Lounge Radio tonight, July 8th, 2018, episode number 737 of our program, broadcasting live as we do every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. I am Rob Roberts. You can find me on Twitter at Sky, S-K-I-E. It's just an online name I've had forever.
No, it's Ski.
Hi, Dark Sakura.
Hi.
Or Dark Sakura. How are you? If you're going to call me Ski,
no,
fair game.
I was giving you...
I've gotten that so many times. Like, oh, are you a fan of skiing? And you know the punchline? Huh. I have never been skiing in my entire life.
You know what?
What?
I've never been snow skiing in my entire life, but I have been water skiing.
I've done waterboarding. I had to think for a minute.
You really? You're guilty of waterboarding?
Not that kind
of.
No.
Kneeboard.
Never did any hard time.
You've done kneeboarding.
Is that what it's called? I thought it was called waterboarding.
Or when they pull you behind a boat? Oh, you've never done anything behind
the
boat.
The definition before 2001 of waterboarding was that you were on the thing following
wave,
the boat.
Waveboard.
Waveboarding. Oh, maybe that was what it was called.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take that.
I used to do kneeboards.
Okay.
You know, where you're, it's called a hydro slide.
Ah.
And I used to, you would be on a kneeboard. You could strap it on to do like flips and stuff. One time I tried my first time to do a flip because I used to jump wake and everything and, you know. But I didn't have it strapped on and fell on my head behind the boat.
So since you talked about sliding, how about water sliding? Because, you know, funny enough, I never done skiing. And this show, you know, the way we all kind of met playing DDR was at a big arcade that was next to a water slide park. And I never went to the water slides ever.
We need to do this.
No, we're too old.
Girl, speak for yourself.
Have you ever looked around that park? It's nothing but teenagers.
This is the face of does not give a shit.
Fair enough.
I now that I have lost 97 pounds, I'm going to get in a damn bathing suit and go
You're
on the water slide.
Show off that hot-ass bikini bod.
No, you know what? If you have a body and you put a bikini on it, guess
what?
You have a bikini body.
Right. Show off them cougar body for all the 21-year-olds.
Cougar my ass. I don't give a shit what they think. I just want to go on the water slides.
All right. High-tech master look.
At that age, boobs are boobs. It doesn't matter.
Hey, I got it's a like, nice rack.
We're not going to be discriminated this time. It's a true. Famine, and I need the food. You know? I can't look around any of those water slide parks without feeling like, you know, someone's going to ask me to take a seat over here, you know, type of thing.
Even like it's summertime and folks are posting pictures of themselves and their families, and their loved ones, and their friends at the beach. And even I can't help but notice like some, and I am gayer than Christmas. You guys all know that, right? But here's the thing. Like even I'll look at some of these pictures and I'll be like, wow, she is hashtag blessed. She is hashtag blessed.
We have two comments in chat, by the way. SSG100 Matt says there is no ageism when it comes to water slides. And Kai Judah says, well, waterboarding people for OLR reviews is bad.
That's right. Thank you to our chatters over at live.vognetwork.com.
I didn't mean to cut off Loki's introduction because he's fascinating.
Oh, no,
I went down water slides before.
He cuts you off all the time.
But I was terribly afraid of him because I didn't really, at that time, I wasn't really good at swimming. And this was like old school, like water slides. I think it I don't know if it was Manteca or it's the one that's next to like a campground. I don't remember.
I think it's Concord had them, right?
No, you're right.
Manteca did have the slide park at one time and it's gone. They tore it down years ago because it's a big deal. They're getting one of those. God damn it. It's mostly on the East Coast. I don't think they have them here, but the Wildwood, the Wild Great Wilds something. There's like these giant hotel slash water park. Somebody in chat will know what I'm talking about because it's just not local here in California. But we're going to get one. They're putting it.
Bobby
in
says Wet and Wild, but that's a makeup brand.
But yeah. No. So anyways,
no,
so
not
they,
Wet and Wild. It was on an episode of Undercover Boss. Like I remember seeing that.
Like most of the slides now, they have you that you go down. You go down. You know, sitting down. You know, feet first, and you know you're like in a raft or something like that. These. You have to go down head first.
Yeah.
And head first
Great
for someone
lodge?
Who doesn't know how to That's swim, it. Not exactly the best thing in the world. So I kind of had a bad experience with water slides. But they look fun now. Just some of the ones that they have at like Golfland or something like that, I'm not fucking doing that. I'm not fucking doing that. I'll sit in the lazy river and go around a million times, but I'm not fucking doing that.
That's it, by the way. Great Wolf Lodge, yeah. Or as they call it in Atlanta, the Great Bobby Black Wolf Lodge. That's what they call it.
Well, when I grew up in, well, I didn't grow up there. I was born in Dothan, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd go visit in the summer. But they actually had a very small little water park in Dothan, Alabama that was just called Water World.
Yeah, they have a Water World at Cal Expo. I don't even know if they still run it ever because I don't know if it would be safe. Like a lot of the plastic parts are probably still from 1965.
That's a Raging Waters now.
That's a Raging Waters.
Oh, so somebody's actually put money into it, I hope.
When I was a kid, though, right outside Mobile, like further down, there was Styx River Water World. And they had like the rope swing that you'd hold on the rope and then let go over the water. And they had, like, the slides that would dump you into, like, a 16-foot deep pool.
We just need Action Park all over
you
again.
Know, like you're sliding off of a cliff. And they had, you know, this one thing that was, like, as tall as a big roller coaster dip. And you just slide down at top speed. But that place went way out of business. And there was a guy who goes by Adam the Woo on YouTube. Who sneaks into old amusement parks and everything. And he found what was left of Styx River Water World. It was actually pretty sad. But yeah, anyway, video games.
Yeah, video games. Let's get into our kickoff topic tonight, which I'm going to surprise you guys with, because on the show world, it's TBD, because I could... let's be real.
It was a dead week.
It's been a slower week, because it was the 4th of July holiday week in the U.S. I know I wished everybody a happy Canada Day on the last show, so now we need to focus on our own country for a minute, even though I know the state of affairs is always whatever. But you know what? It's still my country, God damn it. So, America is a fantastic place. We're a gay guy, a woman who is going to flaunt her 40-year-old bikini bod, and an angry cishet white male can get together and bitch about video games every week. And that is what makes this country great.
Don't forget, I'm a part-time drag nun.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you. Part-time drag nun. Perfect.
Yep.
So, anyway... I hope you all had a happy 4th of July.
Part-time drag nun.
You're full of funnies tonight. Stop it.
Sorry.
So anyway, so the 4th of July, and I hope you all had a good one, was this week. And so you know how I spent my 4th of July? I spent my 4th of July in the most American way I possibly could.
Brunch?
My personal gay brunch.
Yep.
Not just brunch, girl.
Gay brunch.
Gay brunch. And I know some of you out there who don't know might be like, what's the difference? And I got two words for you. Bottomless mimosas.
It's gay.
Anyway. So what was I going to say about the 4th? Oh, yeah. It's caused the week to be slow news week because I don't know about your day jobs, but I know in my day job, you had so many people that took vacation either the entire week or the front of the week. So the same thing's happening in the gaming industry. Let's not forget. This is people's jobs. A lot of these places that they make video games, office buildings. So a lot of them have
Yes,
the
it was
off.
Slow. Like, in fact, I saw an article from, I'm sure it was a Gawker site or whatever they are now, saying, which Mario Kart 64 character sounds the horniest? I mean, like, what the hell is this bullshit? I mean, like, this is like, God, why?
I hate gaming media.
Like, just if you don't have anything to report, just don't report anything.
Who was it? Toadette?
It was Jezebel.
Oh, wait, it's Mario Kart 64. Sorry. Toadette wasn't in there till the game.
Oh, no, and I didn't read the article, but.
Oh.
I just saw the headline. I'm like, nope.
Wait, you're going to bring us to our
attention. All right, fine. I will go onto the internet and go look at who they think sounds the horniest.
You can't fucking drop a tease like that. Which Mario Kart character is the horniest and not tell me who it is? I mean, I realize it's all bullshit and it doesn't matter, but on a slow news week, anyway. Weren't you going to say something, Darkstalker? Weren't you going to bring some class into this?
No, but a friend of mine gave me a good quote.
What's that?
Love is like a fart. If you have to force it, it's probably shit.
That's gross. That's very gross. Anyway, it was a slower news
week. Oh, yeah. No, I know what I did. I spent the whole day with no pants on.
What, on the 4th?
On the 4th.
I
didn't go out.
That was a fabulous way to celebrate.
And I went to
America.
Bed at 8 o'clock because fuck getting up at 4 a.m.
All right. Let's see. Going to chat at live.vognetwork.com. Tiger Claw said, I have a whole week off for the 4th of July, so I was able to chill. Tomorrow I have to get up early to work.
The answer is Bowser. Bowser followed by Donkey Kong, then Toad, then Luigi, Mario, Wario, Peach, and Yoshi.
That's enough. That's enough. Bowser's all we need to know. So, all right. Thanks, Daddy. All right.
And it just says in the caption for number one for Bowser, Bowser fucks.
Anyway.
The
kickoff topic I wanted to get into tonight was I wanted to talk about, and I opened this up to our chat room as well, live.vognetwork.com. This isn't a topical topic. This is a we could talk about this at any time, but I'm doing it tonight on a slower news week. What is a video game that you might be a little bit embarrassed or shy or skittish to admit that you play or have played previously? So what is a video game where... You know, and I want this to be a judgment-free, shame-free zone tonight, okay? This is a safe space for you to confess to Uncle Rob and Aunt Jamie and Crazy Loki what video game you've been embarrassed to maybe be, like, super into, maybe something you've, like, actually spent money on if it's, like, a mobile game or something, and you're going to confess tonight what game that is. Now, for me, there's a new game that I got into that I'm kind of embarrassed that I've been playing as much as I have, and it is Arya Snark's fault, for those of you that remember Shaking and Crying. Yes, it's
going to... She has you playing Harry Potter.
Yes, it's going to come back with new episodes. No, it's not Harry Potter, because I'm all about the Harry Potter Niantic game when that happens. I could care less about the story-driven one they've already put out.
Yeah, I need to get back into that.
So, the game that she got me into that I'm, like, kind of embarrassed to say that I'm playing... Disney Emoji Blitz. It's a match 3 game with little Disney characters that are like emojis, and as you unlock them in the game through...
They like the Tsum Tsum faces?
It's almost exactly like Tsum Tsum. I feel like it's Americanized Tsum Tsum. It's very, very similar. And as you get the emojis in the game, you can use them like in your like texting and your chatting in your app and all that stuff.
I need to play that.
All right. But I'm kind of embarrassed because it's a stupid-ass match 3 game. It's Disney, and thankfully I haven't given money yet, but I thought about it. I have watched videos to get currency, which is like the first step, I think. So, I don't know. Loki, is there any video game where you're like a little bit embarrassed that you're playing it or you've played it? And I'm looking at our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Where She-Hulk says, Star Wars Battlefront 2, zing.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head that I'm embarrassed to be playing. I mean, I guess I don't really play the Office Space game that much anymore, but maybe Para Para Paradise.
Oh, yeah. Sure, because it's, you know, the dancing in that game is a little bit ridiculous. You know?
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous. I mean, I just like the music from it, but that's probably in the, I'm not really that embarrassed by it. I can't really think of anything like, oh my God, you know, I can't believe I played.
There is nothing that you've done for the kids on their behalf. I would have thought that would have been maybe where your answer was rooted.
No, because I play like the games we play, I still like playing, so I don't know.
Act Deft in chat says, I don't give a fuck what people think about the games I'm playing. And you shouldn't at the end of the day. But come on, there's got to be something where you've always been a little bit like, I can't believe I'm playing this. I can't believe this is how I'm choosing to spend my free time. Like, I think we've all had that moment of self-doubt. Even if at the end of the day, you know.
I don't know. I saw an advertisement also on Kotaku about a hentai Tamagotchi type game where you basically raise... your girlfriends, and then that would be kind of embarrassing to play. I haven't played it yet, but that would be embarrassing.
Dark Sakura, anything that comes to mind for you?
Not really.
Really?
I've never been embarrassed by anything I've played. I've had regretful purchases.
Okay.
Or let's... like that one time that we rented WCW Thunder and then took it back because it was bad.
All right. At least we're getting warmer.
And then Spice World.
I mean, you're talking... You're talking about some of the...
No,
the,
I wasn't embarrassed by that. I tried to like it, and it just didn't play very well.
Like, I used to play Gal's Panic. a lot.
Oh, God, you did. Like, you
all
really
the time.
Did.
I still love Gal's Panic.
I remember that.
So, like, and I mean, Miss World Nude 96, I mean, we've played that all the time. I'm not embarrassed by that. So, there's really not much I could think of that would be embarrassing. I mean, you can't imagine.
Maybe I'm phrasing the question the right way. I'm not saying like,
maybe if there's
shame.
Like, you know, like a super homoerotic
like a
version
guilty pleasure?
Of Miss Nude World 90, Miss.
Mr.
Nude World 96 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like really into that, then maybe that might be slightly embarrassing, but I can't think of anything that I've played that I'd be really embarrassed by.
Do you mean like a guilty pleasure instead?
What about even the fact that you played the guy game?
That was hilarious. And tits. What is there? It's a trivia game with boobs. It's awesome. Really, they should have. They
despite
should keep
the
doing.
Despite the fact that there was an underage girl in it, that's most unfortunate. Just.
I don't know all that. All those girls gone wild. Girls are over 18. We assume that, but you know what? It's a fantasy game. It's not my job to police the girls that are in that game. It's the job of the game developers to do that.
I remember back in the day when you were going through all that, and you and the wife would do that. But at one point, you found a like guys gone wild type of video for the missus and me to watch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We used to get those at work, yeah.
Yeah. So I just...
That's right. I was in a bar last night that had gay porn up.
Yeah, I was just to say...
Which is hilarious.
To be fair to Loki, he's always been very, like, you know, just making sure everybody is having an equally embarrassing time. Let's see. Kaijudo in chat says, I rented the Spice Girls video game from Blockbuster almost every Friday. It was embarrassing, but I had to play it. Let me see if you remember this phrase, Kaijudo. Let's put another girl through her paces. Because that was the game. You would make the Spice Girls.
No, that doesn't sound creepy without context.
It was super creepy. I just remember it was really funny because like we would have the Spice Girls. Like they would all do like a super coordinated routine. And then we'd have Baby Spice just stand there and wave the whole time because she's the dumb one. And I think we had one where Sporty Spice just did a backflip over and over and over again. Like she's going to give herself vertigo. Let's see. Act Deft says, what am I playing this game would be Sonic Forces this week. But I'm having fun with it because of how bad it is. There you go. That's a good answer. A video game that was so bad it was good. Okay, here we go from SG100 Matt. I like this story. I don't have a video game in mind, but I really wanted to play the Mall Madness board game as a kid. I don't really know why. Maybe I thought the board looked cool. My mom wouldn't get it because it was a girls' game. I finally played it when I went to a friend's house, and it was all that. SG100 Matt, here's the thing. It had that cool little, like, robot voice that would tell you, like, sale happening. And, like, it worked with all the fake credit cards and all this shit. Like, it was, like, for a quote-unquote girls' game, it was super electronics. Not that I'm saying girls can't be into the electronics, but the day and age when we grew up was a little bit different when you kind of had your boy games and your girls game, right? So the fact that, you know, there was a lot of electronics involved in the girls game, I think made a lot of us boys kind of, you know, that were into that stuff, want to play it.
See, I always wanted Transformers when I was a kid. Fucking love Transformers.
Nothing wrong with that.
But my mom wouldn't buy me Transformers because they were for boys. So out of spite, as an adult, I bought, because I had one Transformer that she found that I hadn't got rid of, and it was Hot Rod, after the movie era. So I now have like 12.
Why didn't she say, Mom, they're called Transformers?
I was a kid. Anyway. My snark wasn't quite up to snuff.
Really? Because I remember that story about when she tried to take your Nintendo away.
Yeah, that, because she didn't buy it for me. My snark was growing at that time. That's just first level snark. That's like common sense snark.
Let's see. Kaijudo in chat talking about the Spice Girls game says, I always wanted to be a music video director, so it was the closest thing I had at the time.
You didn't play CNC Music Factory?
Oh, God. Those games were awesome. The crisscross music video.
I have those still.
Those games were fucking rad, although they really weren't games and they really weren't that good. They're just one of those like relics of the 90s. Let's see. Raginator in chat says, I tried playing WCW Thunder once, but once I discovered my mistake, I flung holy water at it, followed by bleach and gasoline, all while yelling, "Be gone, Satan." Well, that seems a little extreme. Loco Poco in chat says, the Winnie the Pooh Game Boy Color game that was a Mario Party knockoff was my guilty pleasure. It was just a board game, no mini games, and not very good. But being Winnie the Pooh fan, I liked it. Oh, that's cute. I know. Speaking of Disney stuff that I'm almost a little ashamed to own, I owned the, you guys will remember this, the Jungle Book dancing game that came out on PlayStation because it came with that dance pad.
It was one of the first, the first time I actually went to your apartment.
Yep.
Was with that.
Was the Jungle Book dance game. And then one of our friends at the time, who has since gone crazy, he brought over the modded, or the little, no, you brought the plug. He brought the third mix so I could play my erotic song.
I brought you a burn of third mix.
Was that what it was? I thought
that was it.
Why did I blame him for that? Anyway, so
but
it was
I did.
You.
But it was my
But we played thing. DDR on like that tiny little dance pad, and it was so much fun. Even though I lived upstairs, so that I know that lady below hated me. But you know what? Her gospel music woke me up at 6 a.m. on the weekend. So fair's fair, mm-hmm. TBH. So let's see. Going in chat at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby Blackwell says, I still have Connectimals. Oh, I remember that. And Loco Poco, Jungle Book Rhythm and Groove. That was it. That was the name of it. I love it.
That was actually kind of fun.
Yeah. It was for a totally like American dance game that was kind of like right before DDR really took off. It wasn't terrible. Anyway. All right. Let's go from embarrassing stuff to new stuff. What types of video games have you been playing this week in a segment we call How Was Your Gaming Week? Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
I'm playing Final Fantasy V. Of course, I'm playing it on iOS because it's easy to take with me.
I understand that. I don't like what they did to it.
I resisted the urge to name him Butt. but I love Final Fantasy V, so I'm looking forward to playing it again because I don't remember all the plot points. I love the music. The music is amazing.
The music is really good. We really missed out by not getting that here when we were kids. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's very easy to find now, but, you know.
I'm playing Pokemon Go because of reasons. Leveling has been quick now. I actually haven't touched Ingress in a while. Yeah, that's it, because I'm trying to get Dan to actually stay home long enough to play Kirby with me. So, still wanting to finish Kirby.
All right.
Yeah.
Loki, how about
you? Oh, wait. I bought a game.
Okay.
That I'm going to stream.
Okay.
And it's speed dating for ghosts.
Weird. Was this like a sale game or something?
No. I bought it full price.
Really?
Because it looks hilarious and I like weird dating sims.
Where did you find this?
Steam.
I see. Because, well, of course, you like...
Hot to Full Boyfriend.
Why did I want to say Loco Roco all of a sudden?
Because
probably because I'm looking at chat and I see Loco Poco, which is close, but... Anyway, sorry, Hot to Full Boyfriend.
Well, during the holidays this year, I'm planning on playing Hot to Full Boyfriend, Holiday Star, on stream.
Of course,
stream.
You have to. That and the Sonic Night in the Dreams.
Well, that's, yeah, Christmas Nights.
Yeah, Christmas Nights.
But we're actually getting things ready to start streaming off the Wega.
Christmas in July, though.
Mm.
All right, anyway. All right, Loki, how was your gaming week?
My gaming week was all right. I managed to pick up an SNES Classic after the show last week, so I've been already modding it because it's super easy to do that, and so I put a ton of games on there. Funny enough, the games I've been playing, so I've played a little bit of Star Fox just to unlock Star Fox 2, and then the other game that I've been playing just because my kids were into it was Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. On the SNES, and it's a beat 'em up game, which says it's two players, but only if you put in a code, and it's a stupid like versus mode thing, and it's really dumb. So they have that, so that's kind of misleading, but whatever. Free is free, so I'm not going to complain. But yeah, I've got like already other systems on there and stuff. I mean, it couldn't be any easier to put that shit together. I mean, it's ridiculous. So I've been doing that. Pokemon Go, just trying to keep up with sending gifts to everybody every day. I've upgraded my inventory to hold 600 items now, and I still...
Is that all amateur?
I know.
I'm 1,400 item cap, 1,500 Pokemon cap. I got really excited when they said they were upping the cap to 2,000. In my defense, before y'all get judgy... Now that they've got this trading thing and distance comes into play with it, it's like when I go to places like Atlanta and Chicago, I want to hold on to every Pokemon I get there because I can come back here and trade it and you get like way more candy for that stuff. So I mean, like,
By the way, there's a special Pokemon in your yard. Pikachu.
Oh, one of the little Pikachus?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Little summer Pikachus.
They're kind of everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah. And if you guys didn't get any sunglasses, Squirtles, today, I have like 50 billion, so...
I did. I evolved one.
You want, I'll trade you one when we get a break during the show.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, I have so many. So many. Anything else for your game week, Logie?
That's it. I forgot to mention, I think last week, I have finally got my mod chip for my Switch. The issue is, though, is I'm probably not going to end up using it. But I have it for a rainy day.
Just to look at.
Just whenever I decide to end up doing it, because... They have a real problem with people being banned online for using them, which is makes sense because there's people doing all sorts of nonsense on there, like spreading porn through their avatar pics and stuff like that when they do like the balloon hunt things and stuff like that. So I'm just waiting for all that shit to die down, and then maybe someday I'll get a second Switch and just pirate the shit out of that. But I've got it now. It's sitting in the bag in my case. So,
all right.
But, yeah, SNES Mini was most of my week.
All right. Then my game of the week. So, first off, I have a couple of housekeeping things I have to say. First off, happy birthday to my husband, Alan. Today is Alan's 40th birthday. Yes, my 40th was just 2 weeks ago. His is today. So, he's a July 8th baby. So, I want to say happy birthday to Alan if he's out there listening. As a belated birthday gift, Alan got me a classic NES.
Nice.
So he got me one of those, right? Because after all the craziness from last year, mm-hmm. The minute he saw one go up online, he was like, he didn't realize that they were kind of like being reprinted. He thought he kind of like found something. He's like, whoa, a classic NES at retail price? What the heck? So he bought it. So, but you know what? I'm still very happy. Haven't touched it at all this week, unfortunately. Just like, sadly, I haven't touched a PlayStation VR that I really want to do.
Sorry.
But I haven't really been able to play a lot of new games. I've been very busy with the show prep for Clue coming up at the end of the month. So that's part of the reason. But I did play. I have played some of my old standbys. So I've been still playing Heroes of the Storm. Quite a bit of Final Fantasy 14 this week as well, because they put out the patch 4.3.5, which put in the new dungeon called Heaven on High, which is like a roulette kind of dungeon, similar to the Deep Dungeon or Palace of the Dead from the last expansion. So they did that. I did a little bit of streaming of that the other day. Actually, no, I don't think I actually did that dungeon. I think I was playing some Scholar, trying to get my Scholar ready to do that dungeon. I've been playing some of that quite a bit with some of my friends. So that's been a big bulk of my gaming week. So between that and Heroes of the Storm and Overwatch a little bit as well, still kind of trying to fool around with the Symmetra rework and trying to learn how to use her new teleporter effectively. Because, like, I was getting yelled at in one match because I wasn't really using the teleporter. But, like, you know, if you don't know the map super well, like, I was just like, sorry, trying to get used to changes. And they kind of backed off because it's quick play. You can't expect everybody to be good in quick play. But then I started using the teleporter, and I got a bunch of what I call them, endorsements at the end of the match. So I did kind of learn something. So, So playing a little bit of Overwatch and so forth. Heroes of the Storm's been going really well, too. I unlocked two heroes out of loot boxes. I got fucking Ragnaros in a common loot box. I was, like, blown away. Like a legendary hero in common loot box. And then I got Muradin when I hit level 75. So that's really cool that I'm unlocking the heroes in loot boxes. And I don't know if it's still going this week, but I know last week, if you're watching people play Heroes of the Storm on Twitch, then you have the potential to get loot boxes in the game. So I've been watching some streamers on Twitch, either the official Heroes channel, or I've been watching some of the other just, you know, regular people playing Heroes of the Storm. And, you know, it's one of those things I'll have on as background noise while I'm doing other stuff. But, you know, I'm kind of watching it the way I might watch certain TV shows. So there you go. Anyway, going to chat at live.vognetwork.com. Oh, Bobby Blackwolf says, at least Brob's beard is still magnificent. Oh, yeah, about that. I know he knows already, but yeah, I shaved my beard this week too, which is another pretty big step because we're doing the promo pictures for Clue next week. So I have to do, because if you didn't, I think I mentioned this on the last show, we're doing a production of like a Rocky Horror style where the movie is on stage while it's playing on the screen. I'm playing Mrs. Peacock. Mrs. Peacock was a man. That's the whole joke. So I am playing Mrs. Peacock. So I had to shave my face this week. So that way, because my face is all peely and gross.
Did the makeup work for you?
Yeah. I haven't done the full test yet. Ask me again on like Tuesday.
Okay. So, well, like,
I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm not worried.
It just exfoliate.
Yeah. For sure. Well, yeah, otherwise I'm going to get all these gross flakes all over the makeup. But anyway, you're not here for makeup chat. You're here about video games. And as far as housekeeping goes, the next show we will not be here for is Labor Day weekend, because I will be at Dragon Con in Atlanta, as I have been for the past 7 years. So those of you that have been listening to OLR, this should be nothing new. But what is new is hopefully some of the panels that myself, Bobby Blackwolf, and other VOG network creators. I know Critical Myth does a lot of those guys, including John and his co-host. They do panels and they're there. Brian from British Invaders, I don't know if he's going again this year. He used to go every other year, but he's been going more frequently. But I know he does stuff with Brit Track, and so on. And I'm even trying to get Extifer to go this year, which is will be a lot of fun if we get him at Dragon Con. So, yeah, check it out. It's going to be a blast. Dragon Con over Labor Day weekend. Let's get into some more gaming news and talk about what's been happening, what little has been happening this week in gaming. Loki.
So you may remember that Valve kind of shut down access to the information that was being pulled from Steam Spy. Apparently, though, there was an issue where it wasn't 100% dead. They found a way to get some of the information, and now they have finally closed off that bit of the service as well. So they managed to look at, I guess, roughly they could estimate, you know, I guess if based on achievements or something like that. So now, though, they have completely shut that down. However, they're going to be introducing something new that's going to take its place. So that's kind of nice to be able to get that information again. But it's something that Valve is going to supply. And I think the reason they shut down in the first place was due to certain privacy laws and whatnot, just to comply with that. So good to see that there'll be some sort of metric system coming in place of it, but the only problem is it's on Valve time, and who knows when the fuck that's gonna happen. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
How important, I guess, is this for people? I mean, wouldn't people that develop their games, they know how many they're selling? So this is for other people to know how you're doing.
Yeah, I guess it's just to kind of measure different things to see how things are doing. You know, just to see how, like, if you want to. They like getting that kind of data. Like NPD Group used to do something with, you know, game sales, and they kind of walked that back a bit as far as the details that were in that. And so we had to use different sources to get that information. And Steam Spy was kind of that way of doing it. But now that that's gone, we kind of have to trust, you know, these sources on the information that they're providing us, I guess.
So Bobby's lighting up the chat room at live.vognetwork.com saying this was math, Loki, basically. So the percentage amount of people who got an achievement was available to 16 decimal places. That's precise. That is very precise. Like, honestly, when it comes to pi, you don't need that many decimal places to do some really good calculations, right? Yeah. 3.14 is good enough. But Steam went to 16 decimal places. So you could take the numbers, find the common denominator, figure out how many people got at least one achievement, which correlates to how many sales you have. But aren't there a lot of people, and granted, you know, I don't have this article sitting in front of me. Aren't there a lot of people who buy the game that don't get any achievements?
Possibly, but if you're just looking for who's playing the game.
I guess that's true, because the percent you're never going to get like 100%. Never mind. I get it. Because you're
Cause you don't really,
to you're, 16 places. Okay, never mind. I kind of answered my own question in my head.
Yeah, so you just want to know who's playing the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that they came up a list with like the top 1,000 games or something. Of course, Team Fortress 2 being number one.
Of course.
But yeah, I mean, it was interesting to kind of see how everybody fell into place on that.
Hmm. All right. Well, let's move on and talk about the potential for more Switch titles coming in 2018. Nintendo will not let you know who got what to 16 decimal places, because that would involve Nintendo going online. But Nintendo may be providing new games by the end of the year. The former now president of Nintendo, Tatsumi Kimishima, has talked about that Nintendo has other titles coming to the Switch that have yet to be revealed.
Of course.
This is what they're talking about. Nintendo is going to disclose more information at an appropriate time. So that means a direct in a few months, probably. The lineup includes products that will be launched during the year-end shopping season. It's not yet time to reveal the full lineup. More games will be released before the end of the fiscal year, which would mean early 2019 as well, which that also makes it, I would almost feel like more of that is going to fall into this category, because I feel like in fall we'll get a direct that talks about January, February, March. Anyway.
Well, there's still, you know, there's even, like, everyone forgets there's Gamescom still, and, you know, even though there wasn't a lot of announcements from Sony in previous years, Gamescom has been, you know, a big portion of their announcements as well.
And there's Tokyo Game Show, which, yes, I know Nintendo does not historically participate in Tokyo Game Show.
But they do stuff around that time.
But they usually do stuff around that time anyway to kind of, you know, remain competitive. I will point out Kimishima called the games a powerful lineup, although that could be translation, open to question there.
Marketing speak.
Nintendo does aim to maintain and expand the momentum of the Switch towards the year-end shopping season, which honestly, I don't think they need a lot of help in doing. If you think about it, there's already a lot of great games on the Switch. Sure, more to sustain, it's going to be even better, but you know, somebody looking to get a Switch right now can still look at, there's Breath of the Wild, Mario Kart 8, Mario Odyssey, and soon there'll be Mario Party, Smash Brothers, like, you know, and that's really the tip of the iceberg if you think about it. So I think the Switch, you know, I'm not too worried about the Switch's lineup and how that's going to sell through the holiday this year. I think it's going to do just fine. I think it is interesting they're talking about unreleased stuff. However, there's a couple things. I don't think this necessarily means we're talking about AAA cartridge titles. These could be download things in the style of NES Remix, right? That was a pretty, you know, cool little title that they surprised us with.
I think
with
we
would
get
point.
Maybe ports. I'm thinking like maybe, well, I'm still thinking about where's Mario Maker.
Hold on. Here's the big thing. We still have not heard Nintendo's online plan. So I'm
That is true,
I'm
yes.
I'm assuming these games probably tie into that. And it may be more than just the, here's the 8-bit, you know, balloon fight or whatever, you know, games that they got. Oh, actually, they've announced the first 10. They did announce the first 10, didn't they? I seem to remember that was an article from a few weeks ago. So anyway, we know some of the games that are going to be coming. But who's to say that it's limited to this subscription style thing? Wouldn't you think Nintendo is also going to use this opportunity to put out digital games that encourage online play that will also be available to purchase, such as, why not the Dr. Mario remake that was on Wii U? Perfect example, right? Why not bring that, hey, another Wii U port over to the Switch? You know what I mean? So think along those lines. What are some other games that are, you know, kind of, you know, smaller development team, either remasters, ports, or they could be new online, new simple online experiences. Again, NES Remix was a new concept in a way. So these titles could absolutely be a part of that. So I would anticipate Nintendo is going to have a big online reveal in, what, September probably, heading into October. Was October the month they said this was going to finally go live? So
don't they do like one a month about?
No, they don't do directs once a month. Maybe every other month, and some of them are minis. So I would say September-ish, we'll get a direct that's going to be a big, like, October blowout. Here's the online, and it's the subscription, and you're going to be able to get this, too. And, oh, if you download Pokemon Crystal, you can send those Pokemon to new Let's Go. Actually, that wouldn't make sense because of the Gen crossover. So I guess it's going to be Pokemon Yellow yet again on your fucking Switch. Now you can import some of these Pokemon into Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee. There will be things like this. This is the kind of stuff that Nintendo's going to do.
DLC for Mario Odyssey or something like that.
Yeah, but
then they could do that Game of the Year edition type thing.
I don't necessarily disagree, but I think that is outside the scope of what Kimishima is referencing here. Mm. Because he's talking about other titles. And so I think it's online shit. I think they're going to do a big online
That's
blowout.
Another Pikmin game.
Maybe.
Hooray.
Who knows? Who knows? Bobby Blackwell says, Iwata did directs once a month. That ended with him. Were they really doing it that frequently? I mean, I don't disagree. I mean, it does seem like they were doing it more frequently at one point, and it's kind of scaled back. Because there was a big question mark for a while, who's going to do these without Iwata around? And I think, you know, everybody else around Nintendo's kind of stepped up to, you know, you got Reggie, you got Miyamoto, you've got the Treehouse crew. You know, they kind of fill in all those gaps. And now that Nintendo has a permanent president, because remember, Kimishima was always meant to be temporary. Now that Nintendo has a permanent president, maybe he'll be the host of this first Direct that they end up doing this fall. Who knows? Who knows? Anyway, ActDeft in chat talking about the DLC for Odyssey says, I would love DLC for Odyssey if that means more levels and stuff. Why not? Why not? I wouldn't be surprised at all. All right. Let's move on. Dark Sakura.
Yes. Well, for fans who like anime and love their video games, especially like animated things about their video games, there are two things to be coming out. Number one, Rob, Ingress the Animation.
You know what's funny? They announced that back in December. Like, this actually, that isn't new information. It's where it's going to be that's new information and some of this new art that they put out. But they did, they showed us a half second of the anime.
There's a little bit more, though.
Okay.
So it's supposed to be out according to, hold on, it said that it was supposed to be coming to Netflix in October.
Yeah, that's
so
new.
The thing, though, is that it the art director for Evangelion, Honda Takeshi, is also involved in it. And I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what turns out about it. Because, I mean, the animation style looks amazing. The premise behind it is also going to play into Ingress Prime.
Yep.
So I think that's all pretty neat.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Not just because I play Ingress. Like, you know, but Ingress was always bigger in Japan than it was here. Yep. That's why Niantic's doing Pokemon Go.
I rewatched the Ingress Prime trailer. I don't know if it was a new trailer, but they had an Ingress Prime trailer that I watched. That trailer is so full of nothing. Like, it's just like... Blah speak. Like, this makes no fucking sense.
Go back and watch the original Ingress reveal trailer, and you'll be like, that isn't the fucking game whatsoever. But that's like the Pokemon Go trailer. Anyway.
Right. So in other news, of course, Castlevania has also been renewed for season 2, which I hope is more than, you know, what, 3 episodes?
I think they said it's 6.
Good. Well, still.
I think. Don't
8
quote me
episodes,
that.
Sorry. Eight oh, episodes, eight. Okay. October 26th is when it is also going to be out. So both on Netflix. So it looks like Netflix is going to have a good month to come October.
Well, they spent like $1 billion on new properties. So, yeah. I mean, I expect there's a lot of stuff coming to Netflix.
Yeah, hopefully more nailed it.
I'm really looking forward, though, because I really liked Castlevania, especially when you had a lot of the tie-in on for its color palette. To the NES games. It really did sample, I think, a lot of the same colors that were used, and it really was a great tie-in. So, there you go.
All right. I am not even that big of an anime person, but I'm looking forward to these. I'll have to ping Ranma for his opinion on the Ingress and Castlevania stuff coming up. Anyway, Loki, what do you got?
So, speaking of new announcements for the Switch, there's a port of Warframe coming to the Switch. It's being developed by Panic Button, who did the ports for Doom and Wolfenstein the New Colossus and Rocket League. They announced it during NintendoCon 2018, which apparently is a Warframe convention. Me not being a participant of Warframe, I didn't even know they had conventions for it, but I guess it is uber popular, so it makes sense. So it will be coming to the Switch. They talked about that there may be some opportunities for crossplay, to which I say, how is PlayStation going to fuck this up?
How are they not going to?
Because Warframe's on PlayStation, so how are they going to fuck this up?
Loki, it's not that complicated of a question. I'll tell you how they're going to fuck it up. Like, go look at Fortnite. There you go. That's how they're going to fuck it up.
God, I hate PlayStation sometimes.
This is also an opportunity for Sony to get off their goddamn high horse. So we'll see what happens.
Anyway. Get off or get knocked off.
I don't know if I'd go that far, especially because Warframe's already existed. It's not like this is a new thing. Anyway. Let's see. Dungeon Buster, by the way, wanted to go look at the facts on the Nintendo Directs. Bobby is on point. Sometimes there would be even more than one Direct a month at the list of Nintendo Directs, but I guess it's slowed down a little more as of late. So, anyway, let's move on and talk a little bit about the Intellivision. The new one, not the old one. I mean, we could talk about the old one, too, but we're going to talk about the new one. Tommy Tallarico went on a podcast and talked a lot, as has been known to happen. And that's no shade at Tommy. I love a person.
Tommy's awesome.
I love a person that's passionate about their stuff, and the guy likes to talk. He's been on OLR, where he talked for half the show, which is great. He went on Bobby's show, where he talked for over the show. So it's great. Tommy's great. And he went on this other podcast called Nerdable, but they spell it in leet speak, which is interesting. Choice. That's a choice. So he went on this podcast and talked about Intellivision and what all is going to be expected on the new Intellivision. And in very Tommy style, here's the thing. I don't want to compare Tommy to 45 because that's a very rude thing to do, to compare somebody who I really respect to somebody who, well,
is the Antichrist.
You can finish that sentence. But here's the thing. Sometimes when, like, you know, the 45 talks about, like, things very bigly and hypes some things up, like, a lot of it is hype. And I worry that a lot of what I'm hearing in this interview is also a lot of that same, like, kind of like hype. And there's a part of me that wants to tell Tommy, yo, I'm so happy that you're passionate, Tommy, because we need lots of people like that in the industry, especially people making the decisions. But just don't overpromise and underdeliver. That is the worst possible thing you can do.
Don't be a Coleco Chameleon.
Oh.
Or an Ouya.
Well, yes, that too. Anyway, and here's the why. Here's the reason why. So Tommy is saying, well, listen to this quote. We are paying people, very talented people. We have big publishers, huge publishers, mid-sized publishers. We've got big developers. We've got small developers, medium developers. And if there's a concept that they bring us, then we're going to take all of the risk away from them, financial risk as well, and we'll front load all of the royalties. I love that, but there's a part of me that reads that quote while I'm doing this thing with my hand that a certain Cheeto with a lot of power does when he talks. I can't help it.
And also,
and again, I'm sorry, Tommy. I'm so sorry,
and
Tommy.
Also, the Ouya was going to give you money for your game too if you put it on their system and front.
The thing is, I don't think he feels it's hype given the big lead up he had and how excited he's been on Facebook.
Yeah.
I really feel really happy for him and hope he's successful.
I do too. Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, even though I'm being a little playful with some of these comparisons, like, I really do want this new Intellivision to do well. But there's also that part of me, like, I'm going to be honest. I'm also skeptical because I'm like, okay, but, like, it's an Intellivision remake. You've already set the bar at you're not going after PlayStation and Xbox. So that right there should set the bar kind of lower. So why come move the bar high? Does that make sense? I don't know. That's where my concerns are. Anyway.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, badge.
We would rather have 20 epic games as opposed to 50 mediocre games. A game on the Intellivision console has to be at least a 7 out of 10. Well, if it's not a 7 out of 10, they're not going to put it on the console. I don't think that's what... I think that's just kind of hype, which, you know, okay, cool. They want to price this console under $200, even less than $179. They will not be using crowdfunding to do it. Wireless Bluetooth controllers, SD card slot, HDMI output, USB slot for add-ins. Hacker's delight is what this shit sounds like, which no problem with that. He talked about, imagine being able to play Pitfall 40 years later with completely amazing photorealistic graphics, incredible movie sounds. We're not going to mess with the thing that made the game super popular. That's my
favorite. Imagine being able to play Street Fighter, but instead of the Street Fighter sprites that you know and love, we took the Street Fighter actors from the Street Fighter movie and put them into the game. It's so much better than the original Street Fighter.
Fuck all the way off. Fuck all the way off with that quote, because I was actually really excited about it, because I'm like, yeah, actually, that sounds... Pitfall is a classic game. That's a great idea. Why not just take like a classic formula, but, like, you know, zhuzh it up a little bit, and now you got something a little bit newer. I don't know. That was my favorite part of the whole thing. I'd be into that. Anyway, Bobby in chat says, Tommy is the one fronting the money. He's not asking you or me to crowdfund it. So, yeah, the fact that, you know, he's putting his money where his mouth is.
No, jokes aside, you know, if anybody can pull it off, I believe Tommy could do it. So yeah. I'm not worried, but I'm just saying, you know, it's fun.
Good luck, and don't fuck it up. That's what we're telling to Tommy. I will mention this real quick, though, about the controller. They're bringing back the disc. Now, here's the thing. The Intellivision disc was really cool in that it's very easy, it's flat, and it's simple. The Intellivision, the old one, sucked because it wasn't the disc itself, but the ridge, the hard raised ridge around it. So when you played Intellivision games for a long time, it was your thumb and your nail that went into that hard ridge. And so after you've played after a while, it started to hurt. So we're going to get rid of that ridge, right? So you can hand your mom or your grandparent a control with a disc on it, and it's like a mouse. You move it around. When you see something on screen, move around. Same thing with the disc. So, you know. Anyway, he's going to put out more details after October 1st. He says, don't expect a release date. He says the company has one in mind, not this Christmas and not next Christmas. So that says 2020 at the earliest for this thing. So the good news in that, although you might be thinking like, God, that's a long way out to hype something up. The good news is if you're going to release a console in 2020, you want to have those great developers on board now to start making those games. So I would actually be a little more concerned if he said it's going to be out this Christmas. Yeah. I'd be like, how are you going to get quality games by this Christmas?
But 2020 is most likely when we're going to see another set of consoles come out.
True, but PlayStation 5 and Xbox 2 are probably going to charge at least $400, if not $500, for their new consoles. You know, again, we got a long way to go, guys. I'm not going to speculate too bad on this. So if Intellivision is your remasters of your classic games, reimaginings of your classic games for $150, it will look pretty appealing next to those other two. To a certain crowd.
Right.
Not maybe not for you, me, her, or the people that are like super into games. Well, I don't know. With the right games, I would be into it, actually. So we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, some quick comments from chat, and then we'll move on. Let's see. Bobby Blackwell says, I mean, everyone made fun of him for the early days of video games live. And he's like, trust me, it'll work. And people were like, you start with fucking Pong. And are you nuts? And now Video Games Live is a worldwide phenomenon. No, as much as we rib a little bit on Tommy and this some of these quotes and things, you know what? Like Loki referenced, this is sure to go better than the ColecoChameleon or Karma Chameleon. What the hell was that thing called?
ColecoChameleon.
The ColecoChameleon. This is sure to go better than
whatever
that.
Whatever the Atari thing is. That
what could possibly go wrong? Anyway, moving on, Darkstalker, speaking of classics.
Well, the Daria series is coming to the Switch. It looks like it's a big collection, which I'm pretty happy about. Although there are some that are only in the special edition, so of course the special edition would be what I would want. In the normal one, we get the arcade versions of Darius, Darius 2, Sagaya. Oh.
You said Darius. I said Daria for a second. I was like, sweet, Daria, that's
like,
coming back.
Pew, 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 pew. But you also get Darius Gaiden. In the special version, you get the Super Famicom versions of Darius Twin, Darius Force from Master System Sagaya. You also get Darius 2 for Sega Genesis and Darius Alpha for PC Engine. And it looks like it's going to be pretty sweet. The Darius games are great. Not too easy, but that special edition also comes with a CD with arranged tracks and a Darius art book and an acrylic stand. So there you go, Darius.
Sweet.
Is this a shooty shoot pew pew game that you enjoy from the past?
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, speaking of a game from the past, Battletoads. So Battletoads is a pretty popular game. We probably just saw some speedruns of it actually during Summer Games Done Quick, which I did watch a ton of. And I've been slowly parsing through that 6-hour or 7-hour run of Final Fantasy VI. I love that shit. Made me actually want to go back and play Final Fantasy VI, which I might now that I have the SNES Classic Mini. But did you know that...
Don't you mean Final Fantasy III then?
Yes. I also have the English translated version of 5 now on there, too. I put that on there, so...
Let's see. Time to hack Loki's systems. That was less than a day.
It was a day. Because I didn't touch it the first day, so...
You don't have a normal Super Nintendo, do you?
Not anymore.
I was going to say, you could just do the same thing with an EverDrive.
But then I need a CRT TV, and yeah.
I don't have an original. Well, I might have. Actually, I think I do have an original yellowing Super Nintendo somewhere.
Well, I know you did, because I got you, what game did I get you? Mega Man X.
Yes, you did, Mega Man X. Yeah. But now I have the Retron 5. That's what I can play all that stuff on now. So anyway, sorry, Loki.
No problem. So did you know that there was a version of Battletoads, the arcade game, that was supposed to be coming to the Game Boy, but never was finished. So apparently, now it is. So they had one of our engineers here happened to have a Game Boy emulator. We dragged the file into it and waited with bated breath. He said, and it ran. I couldn't believe it. No one had seen the game in about 22 years. I was the only person who recalls its existence at all. Using the original source code, they worked out a cheat for infinite lives, and they ran through the entire game. And they found out that the game was complete. They just never released it. So, I don't know. Are they going to release it? Maybe it'll be part of a collection or something. Maybe that ROM will just find its way onto the internet somehow.
Maybe Microsoft will magically put it out to build hype for their new Battletoads game. That's probably also in 2020 with the new Intellivision. So who knows?
Yeah. So Battletoads Arcade. They also had an SNES port planned, but that never happened either.
All right. Well, this might make some of you sad. I don't know. I don't know how many of you shop with Amazon Prime, but Amazon Prime is starting to scale back some of the 20% discounts. Amazon is scaling back re-releases and remasters. They've added those to the games that are ineligible for 20% off when you pre-order. Although, apparently, some of the games that are on the list right now still will have this 20% applied. For example, Shenmue 1 and 2, still offering the savings on this. Does this mean Spyro the Dragon is not going to let us get 20% off? I'd be curious for more details what this kind of means. Like, would this just be like The Last of Us remastered when they like put a PS3 game on the PS4? Is that, but like, you know, because there's different levels of remaster, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes they really go in and clean it up.
Are they talking about, like, here's the Game of the Year edition with all the other stuff with it?
Or, because if Captain Toad counts, which is going to be pretty much a port of the Wii U version, except what, they changed some of the Mario stuff to Mario Odyssey and that stuff.
Why like, do you just add stuff to it instead of changing things?
It's very gray in this, but I think this is all leading up to Amazon eventually getting rid of this discount altogether, because Best Buy has recently done it. The game publishers and the game studios hate this. They do not like this 20% discount thing. They feel it devalues their games, and it cuts into the whole digital thing.
Wow.
With more and more people going digital with their games. That is a bigger cut that Nintendo, especially Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft get when you buy directly. All that overhead that would usually go to GameStop between like the $47 that it costs to sell to a retailer, like that $13 difference, that's how GameStop makes their money.
Well, guess what? They can't say shit about it because the only thing that really would the MSRP ever has an effect on is advertising dollars. Because you have to abide by their rules if you want to get that advertising money that they might provide. But if they're not taking it, which in this case they're probably not taking the money, then they can eat a dick. It doesn't matter because they can charge whatever they want for that fucking game. Boo fucking who that you don't like it.
All right. Well, let's travel back to a simpler time. Let's go back to a time when there were no remasters and remakes because we were getting the games for the very first time. Save for maybe the Ninja Gaiden trilogy. Ninja Gaiden trilogy. Some childhood habits are hard to break, y'all. Because that's what we called it as kids. So anyway. I'm trying to think of other old, like, Super Nintendo cartridges of NES games. Oh, Super Mario All-Stars, of course. That would be probably the most well-known remaster. Anyway, let's get to the classic game of the week. Actually, once a month, Dark Soccer says, you know what? Fuck the game. We're gonna
When you have another month to make up for.
We're going to do a peripheral. So last week we got June's a little late. Tonight we're getting July's.
Yes.
Classic peripheral of the month. And I think you pick one tonight. It's going to be hard to argue with. Right, Dark Sakura?
I pick dance pads.
Dance pads.
And it's really a big, broad selection of them. So I'm really casting a net. And in this case, actually, the 1987 Power Pad could even be included in the genre of soft pads. They're thin, they're made of plastic. The early ones were typically $10 to $20. They got more expensive as time went on. But they have different sensors under the pad where you can step in different places. Konami released their own, which were probably the more expensive. Other makers of these soft ones were BNS USA, Red Octane, Intech, Mad Cats, My Box, Naki International, and Nintendo's Action Pad.
And let's not forget the Konami insanely expensive solo pad that they released that was an arcade thing.
Yeah.
Like $1,000.
Well, and basically just sticking with the soft pads for now. As things went on, you know, there are even, they came out on all kinds of systems. I had the Dreamcast ones were the first ones I had. Also, as I call it, the slip and death pad, because it had a plastic cover over the top that would come loose.
That's always weird to me.
And it was falling over dead. Then hard pads came out. And hard pads, you know, they were usually made of metal. Some would be plastic. There were, I think the very first ones that came out were those arcade-style ones that Konami did. And we're looking at, you know, upwards of $600, $1,000 more if you're getting, you know, doubles pads as well. But other manufacturers for those were DDR Game, there was Cobalt Flux, MyMyBox, Brown Box, and Red Octane, and Mackie International as well. But these were meant to be the arcade experience, although they were anywhere from really well-made to really flimsy. And then you also had the solid-state pads, which those, instead of using mechanical switches, they used a proximity sensor so that they would detect where your feet were when they were hitting it, so it didn't actually have to use moving parts. You know, kind of like the way a solid-state hard drive would work. It's all, you know, there. Now, there were, of course, other things that this led to, because I'm going to include some of this. Now, Stepmania, when it came out, now the predominant games that used these pads were, of course, DDR. You also did have, like what you were talking about, the Jungle Book rhythm and whatever, shake your butt, dance pad game.
Yeah, whatever that was called, yeah.
But, you know, there were knockoff games, but really DDR was the big thing for it. And Stepmania, when it, you know, the advent of Stepmania, they would start to do, like, USB converters for those dance pads or just flat-out USB ones. I know that Pump It Up had PC pads specifically for their version, so got all kinds of different what. So, and some of the major ones, you had your DDR / In the Groove / Stepmania with the arrow panels. You had Pump It Up. When Solo came out, there was, of course, the Solo pad, although you could remap your O and X buttons on the dance pad. There was Dance UK and MC Groove's Dance Craze that had 8, and then Technomotion with 9.
What about Britney's Dance Beat?
Britney doesn't. It's Britney, bitch. you want a Maserati?
By the way, I was very, even though YouTube has moved on to Pink Dinosaur, I was very touched by your Asia O'Hara tribute there during the opening
moments.
That
wasn't even intentional. I guess her, you know...
Neither was her lip sync.
They weren't dead. I mean, people were saying she dropped dead butterflies.
They weren't dead. They just couldn't breathe.
They were frozen. Anyway. It was too cold in the theater.
Anyway.
I know someone who did butterflies at their wedding. It was very sad. Anyway. Homebrew pads. So that also led to the very crafty out here, I'm looking at Loki, to try making their own dance pads. People using plywood.
What kind of fool?
Well, and even modifying dance pads, like the ones that She Who Shall Not Be Named had, where they were plywood and, you know, clear packing tape. Which, by the way, is the way I passed my first line footer was on one of those. Just saying. But now people will build them out of wood, sheet metal, acrylic glass, polycarbonate, you know, just DIY dance pads by rewiring a controller or building their own controllers this way. And some of them, you know, are pretty crafty. They'll have like the Solo arrows or have arrows across the whole pad so that they can switch between DDR and Pump It Up. And a lot of them are meant to use, like, some of them will have, like, circuit switchers so that they can use them on multiple different machines. And they end up, in some cases, the really well-made ones will be cost-wise about the same as one of the professional ones that you buy at the store. So as far as other games that use dance pads, and I'm going to be going into some weird ones. Of course, there are the ones that use the NES Power Pad. Breakthrough Gaming presents Axel. All of the mini games for DDR Mario Mix. Kraft Rocking the Boat. Kraft Soccer Striker and Kraft Virtual Dojo. And then a game called Exult. DDR-a-mole, which is like Whack-a-Mole, but DDR. Mini games in Dance Craze 2, the remix, and Dance Tris, which is a Tetris simulator. And the 2014 game Crypto the Necro Dancer. And there you go.
All right.
You didn't mention the one that I have seen before. Which I think it was called Dance Christ or something like that. Lord. It was the Christian.
Isn't that Dance Praise?
Dance Praise. Yeah,
that's Dance Praise. Which Dance I brought
Praise.
Up. Dance Praise.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I was thinking of a different one.
How dare you question
Dance Christ.
Dance Christ.
That's it. Instead of you going Dance, like Dance Christ. Jesus Christ, I'm just going to go Dance Christ.
Dance Christ.
Or I could just do Ben De La Christ.
All right. Let's see. Going to chat over at live.vog.org.com. Bobby Blackwell says, I remember always wanting Street Cop for the NES Power Pad. I read about it in Nintendo Power and really, really, really wanted it. And I never got it. SG100 Matt brings up Spider Stomp. You know what Power Pad game was the bomb? My favorite was the awesome, like the second most awesome combo cart on the NES next to Super Mario and Duck Hunt was Short Order and Eggsplode.
What was
those? Were the those games were my jam on Power Pad.
Did you ever go to that bowling alley in like Concord? That I can't remember what the dancing game was, but it had two small, two big, and then two small again, six buttons.
Huh.
And it was, the music was not good.
You don't
but
say.
I think it was, and I don't think it was Korean. I think it was actually a Taiwanese dancing game.
Okay.
But I don't remember what it was called.
I don't either. That's,
I don't know. I played
like Dance Motion or
Dance 3D DX one time.
See, now this is going to bother me, and I've only got 3 minutes to look this up. So
now I want to play, though, the future of these dancing games, and that's that little rainbow LED dance thing on the
Rush.
Dance Rush. That looks fun. So I think a trip to round one pretty soon might be in order. We'll see. You know, I still need to have an appropriate birthday party, and so does Alan. So maybe we need to go throw a party at round one or something.
You wait a couple months, we'll just do all three. We'll just go down.
There you
go. For my birthday.
There you go. We'll work. Celebrate
them
all.
Well, it's just, I can't remember what it was called. It was like called like it Dance Motion or something. It's
Techno Motion? No, because that was the 9-panel one.
I don't think it was, yeah.
It's okay. It's okay if you can't think of it. SG100 Matt is rubbing it in that he's played it, saying Dance Rush is a ton of fun. All right. Well, we can't all play it. All right. Anyway.
And I know it wasn't Dancing Stage because that was the British name for.
All right. Well, we are going to take a break, guys. When we come back, there is plenty more Orange Lounge Radio, including your calls at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. Although, sadly, there will not be a Dark Sakura here in the second half of the show tonight. So let me ask you now, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners tonight, Dark Sakura?
I hurt.
We'll feel better.
No, don't hurt in a bad way, but now this is going to bug me until I figure out what the fuck game this was.
All right. And even the chatters didn't rescue you tonight. All right. Anyway, we will see Dark Sakura next week, but we will see you guys in just a few moments when we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight on this July the 8th of 2018, episode number 737 of our show. Myself and Loki here in studio. Dark Sakura has left the building for the evening, but you guys can join us a little later in our show on the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Yeah, so that was an interesting music break. Those of you that are listening live, we went a little longer than usual tonight because, oh my gosh, like, so I was coming back from the kitchen. I don't know what I was doing. I was very frustrated that we didn't have a lot of coffee left. And as I was coming back, I slammed my knee into this coffee table here, which is where, like, Jamie would usually put her computer. It's hard to explain when you guys don't have the visual. Basically, I slammed my knee into the table, and, like, it was loud. Like, you could hear that when I slammed into that table, right, Loki? And, yeah. I'm like, oh, God, is it bleeding? Because it really hurts. And I'm like, okay, it's not bleeding, so we're good. But I looked at it. I'm like, oh, that's definitely going to be a bruise tomorrow. So that'll be fun. That'll affect my ability to get my steps in for the day. So, yeah, that was injury. Workman's comp. Oh, wait. This job doesn't pay anything. All right. Well, let's get back to the gaming news, and then we'll get to your calls. But first, some rapid-fire news, starting with Loki.
So there was a tease, a brand-new Surgeon Simulator trailer called Bone Shattering News. And what it revealed was the hand that you normally have in Surgeon Simulator, fumbling amount stuff, and then trying to push a light switch, which leads people to believe that there's a hint that there's going to be a Switch port of the game coming soon. So that we will have to wait and see, but apparently that could be a thing. But speaking of ports of games, RPG Maker MV is coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch. It'll be coming, I believe, next year. And the trailer I know I watched shows absolutely nothing, but I love RPG Maker, and I'm looking forward to checking that out when it's out here at some point. So, sweet. And then...
Are you going to make naughty RPGs in RPG Maker?
No, honestly, I haven't actually messed with RPG Maker that much because it is a lot of work to make an RPG.
Yeah.
So I would have to have something in mind, like a full story that I'd want to do. And make a naughty RPG? What, am I in high school?
Well.
And back then it was Naughty Text Venture Games. And yes, I have made one. There is one that exists. Out of BASIC.
Whatever happened to the guy that made the OLR Text Adventure game? Do you remember the OLR Text Adventure game? Somebody made one back in the day. This was like the early, this is the Live 365 days of OLR. Somebody made an OLR Text Adventure game. Somebody who doesn't listen anymore, sadly, because they were clearly a super fan to have gone to that extent to make a text adventure game. Dark Tetsuya, do you remember this? Because this goes way back. I'm surprised it's not on the wiki somewhere. There might be a story on the or I don't know. There is an OLR text adventure game out there somewhere. It's old. Anyway.
Yeah.
But it was cool that it existed. You want to do a few more, or should I just take over?
I can do.
Okay.
So, and then the new Neo Geo game coming to the Switch is a game called Super Spy, and it's going to be coming out next week. And it was originally released in 1991. Apparently, it's a little bit different than some of the other Neo Geo games we've gotten because it's a beat 'em up in the first-person perspective with an RPG element. I've never played this game.
That's fun.
So, neat. And then another tease of stuff to come. They introduced a brand new boss for Mega Man 11 called Blast Man. And I got to say, I really do like the new artwork of this game. So, I really can't wait to play it when it comes out. But October 2nd is when I'm going to have to wait for this to be released.
And I got a few things for you, including the fact that Talim was announced for Soul Calibur 6. If you remember her from... I used to play her all the time in Soul Calibur 2. She had like the little things on her hands, and she was very fast-moving. I think she's like an air princess or something like that. So anyway, she's going to be in Soul Calibur 6, which is a game that... is coming out this year, and oddly we didn't hear like anything about it at E3, so they've been kind of reminding us of its existence with these character reveals and so forth. So that's
that's a thing.
Actually, I love Soul Calibur, so I'm super excited for Soul Calibur 6. I hope it's good, that's all. Anyway, also let's talk a little bit about Starfield, because Starfield they are saying could be a cross-gen game.
Give you an indicator when that's coming out.
Right, and that should also give you an indicator on Elder Scrolls 6, because this one is first, remember? So anyway, apparently the next gen could mean two things for Bethesda. It does mean hardware, and it does mean software on our side. And it also means gameplay, so that could be a little play on words, that it's the next generation of RPG.
Brand new bugs and glitches in ways that you'll never imagine.
That's right. Get lost in the galaxy forever in all new ways. Anyway, Starfield has been in development since 2015. I guess seeds of the game, the first ideas were back in 2004. So this game goes way back, but games, they take a long time to develop, don't you know?
So. I used to be a Star Explorer until I took a comet to the knee.
All right, let's travel around the world and check out some upcoming releases, things that will be coming out a little bit sooner than Starfield or Elder Scrolls 6.
Well, set those expectations pretty low, because we are in the middle of July, one of the slowest months of the year. So we've got Hotel Transylvania 3, Monsters Overboard on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And if that's not your sort of cup of tea, then maybe Shining Resonance Refrain on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. That's a role-playing game, and that's going to be coming out this week as well. And then, let's see here. Actually, I think there's one more. Warhammer Vermintide 2 on Xbox One. And then at the end of the week, some actual notable stuff. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker on the Nintendo Switch and 3DS, and Octopath Traveler on the Switch, and I am plan to pick that up.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, before you were shading this week in releases, I was like, wait a minute, wasn't this week
Octopath
Traveler
Week? Well,
it's
still slow. I mean,
yeah, it is. One big game in the week is not a huge deal, but I know a lot of OLR people are going to be checking out the Octopath Traveler game. I'll probably end up picking that up myself, honestly. And then, hey, Captain Toad, I know, has its fans too, and people that will want to revisit that game all over again on the Switch, especially if you never got the chance on the Wii U. All right, let's move on. I'm going to get into some releases for Japan and talk about what you can look forward to there, including, let's see, this week on the 12th, Kangokuto Mary Skelter 2 in a regular and limited edition. That's the only release on the PlayStation 4 this week. So I'm trying to figure out if this is like a big title or not, but it's a Compile Heart game, and it's based off, it looks like another anime game, but they're talking about there's dungeon map size adjustments. Oh, it's a upgrade of an original game, because they talk about this is different from the original game. There's an automatic feature in Jail Roulette and various features added to the warehouse. So this is a remaster.
What game
I guess.
Was that?
Kangokuto Mary Skelter 2.
Oh.
Regular and limited edition. Yeah, that really, I mean, and then we go to the Switch this week in Japan. Octopath Traveler also has its Japanese release, and there are some new amiibo Splatoon characters. I believe this is what we have as...
Pearl and Marina?
Yeah, I think it's them, but the versions, Hime and Ida are their names over in Japan, so they're out in Japan this week. As well as a game called Susume Kinopio Taichu comes out on the Switch this week. So it's a much bigger week on the Switch than it is anywhere else. So, oh, do you know Susume Kinopio Taichu? That's Captain Toad. That's what they call it over there. Much different name. All right. Anyway, Loki, what about the UK?
The UK has Shiny Resonance Reframe. That's coming out on Xbox One, the Switch, and PlayStation 4. They're also getting the Pearl and Marina amiibo. Lego The Incredibles is coming out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch. Also, Hotel Transylvania 3, Monsters Overboard on those same three systems. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker and Octopath Traveler both on the Switch. And then they're also getting, in addition to that, Earthfall Deluxe Edition on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
So it's basically Octopath Traveler featuring Captain Toad Week.
I've heard so many comparisons to that to Final Fantasy VI. And I'm like...
I'm hearing it's more like a Saga game, which actually has me where I think the Saga series is super overrated. Unpopular opinion. Sorry about it.
I'm not a fan of the Saga games either.
Yeah. So when I hear it compared to Saga, I'm like, ooh. I hope not. Anyway. Let's move on and get to the mailbag, because every week you guys send us emails to participate at orangeloungeradio.com. You send us your emails to participate at orangeloungeradio.com every week, but some weeks you don't. This week you didn't send us any emails.
Oh.
So much for the mailbag segment.
Too busy with fireworks.
Apparently. Y'all too busy. Or as my mom used to say, why don't you just set your money on fire? It's the same bang for the buck.
That's what people are asking.
Why not just light your money on fire?
I bet you lit off all sorts of fireworks with your kids. I'm like, I don't feel like wasting money on garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
So
why? Well, you're just going to blow your hand off. Actually, you know how I would always get my mom to come around in the end, though, is I would be like, oh, but this fireworks booth, the money is going towards preschools. Or it's going towards schools. And then my mom would be like, all right, what are we going to get? So there was always a way to bring her around.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got the coworkers. Well, I should go. This one's for our church and stuff. I'm like, I'm not buying fireworks.
I always ask what the charity is, because obviously there are certain religions I want to make sure I'm not indirectly donating to something that would fund, you know, anti-gay teaching. Or anything that supports conversion therapy. So I do try to, you know, investigate a little bit. But usually I almost always will find the marching band that's raising money. And that, you know, that was me in high school. I was the band geek. So I almost always end up buying either from marching band, or if the Masonic people, the D-Malay, because I was involved in that when I was a kid. If the D-Malay people find me, I always buy from that too. So
anyway. I've stopped after each year. It's been even
more. Well, I didn't
buy
any this year.
I know.
But I have in the past.
Like, every year it's been just, like, more depressing than the last with how the fireworks are. You buy, like, something that's like a grand finale firework, and it lasts, like, a minute. And it's just, forget it. Why bother?
I should ask though. We keep talking about charities and fireworks. I don't know if it is that way everywhere, but here in our region, which I assume is the way most California works, which I assume is the way most of the nation works, but I'm not sure.
Probably.
You can only buy approved fireworks, the safe and sane fireworks, and they're all like charity boosts.
It doesn't matter anywhere. There's like fires every day. There's a fire when I came in today.
Oh, well, because then everybody drives down to TJ and brings in the fireworks across state line, or even like Nevada. You can go to Nevada and buy different stuff that you can here, and they bring them here. But TJ is the biggest. You know, people are driving into Mexico and buying crazy shit, and they bring them here. So that's just the way it happens. So, but the ones you're supposed to use are all funding charity. But somebody's got to be the big, you know, I'm going to fire off a bottle.
I liked all the, was it the announcements? You know, LA County does not allow fireworks whatsoever. And you see, the animation of like a plane flying, and there's just fireworks going off everywhere. It's like, right. Yeah, they really cracked down on that.
Yeah. It's just like here. Don't buy illegal fireworks. It's like
mortars going off everywhere.
The day before, the day after, like probably tonight, you'll still hear some. Like, God, it's so irritating. Anyway, God, I really have gone full-blown old man, haven't I? Let's get back into some gaming news. That's what happens if you don't email us. If you don't email us, you're going to get an old man rant. How's that? New rule for my 40s. All right, Loki, let's get back into some gaming news.
All right, so there's this brand new fast start feature that was rolling out with the Xbox One. That's finally happened. The only problem is, though, is it only applies to certain games that are part of that Game Pass. So let's see. Which games have it supported? Don't know, but there's only a few of them that support it. And apparently, if you don't remember what Fast Start was, it applies machine learning technology to identify which parts of the games are required for full-fledged gameplay, and so it downloads those portions first so that the games load faster. I mean, and I guess that makes sense if you think about it. It only works for some of them, because since this is going to be getting better as it goes along, then, you know, there might not be support across the board yet.
I can't help but feel like this is a throwback. Ready for another old man rant? Back in my day, on the Commodore 64, back in 1985... on the Commodore 64, you used to get the fast load cartridges that you'd plug into the back. So I don't know exactly how they worked. I think it would like preload some of the data onto the cartridge or something, so it allowed to fast load off the cartridge or something. I don't know exactly how that whole thing worked because I'm not as computer savvy. But they used to have those cartridges that were fast load. This is, I feel like here we are in the year 2018 and we're still talking about fast load applications and cartridges. Right. It's pretty funny.
And then, of course, okay, so I did find the list of games that are supported by it. Well, at least that's what it said.
That's a big list, Loki.
It said that there was going to be a list, and then I went to the list, and there's no list. So that
and it was but ads for pornography.
I feel like I've
bastards.
Been. I wish at least that would have been something. No, instead, this is just talking about what Fast Start is. There's not really a list here. I was expecting a list. You link to a list, and there's no list. So whatever. Just guess you'll be surprised.
If it's Microsoft first party and it's on Game Pass, it's a likely candidate for this in the early stages.
Probably, yeah.
All right. Anyway, let's talk about a game that people loaded fast and then uninstalled pretty quickly, unfortunately. Mass Effect Andromeda. And here we are all this time after the original release of the game, and we're still talking about why did this game fail? Even though I done told y'all why the game failed a long time ago. It's because it should have been delayed. That's why this game failed. It should have been delayed again.
Am I guessing that we're going to blame someone else for 500, Alex?
Yes, you're a winner. Oh, you get the daily double.
I love it when companies blame other people's for their failings.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. As much as we can taunt this guy for it, I actually think he's getting a lot of unnecessary shit for the quote. And I will explain myself here in a minute. So he's a BioWare developer, and he's Anthem's executive producer, so I already don't like him. Just kidding. I will stick up for him here a little bit. Mark Dara, who was talking on Twitter a little bit about this. Actually, the clarifications came up on Twitter, but he was talking about if Andromeda got a fair shake, and he says no, because the RPG genre was quite crowded at the time, mentioning that Andromeda launched at the same time as Zelda Breath of the Wild was called out. Now, in a series of clarification tweets, he goes on to kind of talk about that, you know, the game might have gotten a higher Metacritic score if it hadn't been released at the same time as like all these other RPGs to which
that were fully polished.
I know, and I'm kind of like, girl, don't dig that.
It's
whole
like, yes, everybody, yeah. I know when Andromeda came out, everyone was like, damn it, these RPG elements are not good enough. Why did they skimp on the RPG elements?
Here's the thing. Here's the message I took away from that. Honestly, you knew you didn't have a 10 out of 10 game. You knew you didn't have a 10 out of 10 game. EA knew you didn't have a 10 out of 10 game. Everybody fucking knew you didn't have a 10 out of 10 game, except the players, but you released it anyway. Not only did you release it, you released it early for a very small group of people so that word could get out quickly that it wasn't a 10 out of 10 game. Because you were willing to shit, I'm sorry, EA was willing to shit on the Mass Effect name that quickly. You got sold the fuck out by the EA board. You're not 10 out of 10 game. To please investors, which, newsflash, if you delayed the game and just released it over the holidays, the investors would have been pissed off in the short term. But guess what? In the long term, you might have had a better game with better sales, and it would have turned out okay, just like it did for Nintendo.
But maybe they had a timeline that they had to hit. They wanted to hit with Anthem that forced them to finish the other game in order to be able to start development on that game.
You don't want to go there with me right now.
Oh, come on. We should.
You don't want to go there with me right now.
Let's open Pandora's box. Come on.
We're going to keep that closed. Because you all already know. You know, insert your Rob Brandt here. You fucking know. I've mentioned it enough on this program already. So here's the thing. I said I would give this guy credit. Is there credit to the fact that this game came out when there were these other RPGs that came out, and so therefore in a crowded marketplace, it did end up grasping for air a little bit more because gamers only have so much money and so forth. Yes, it's the same thing in the movie industry, right?
Or same thing any other time of the year.
Right? You release your movie the same weekend as a movie that does runaway bang-up success, your movie might suffer because of it. That's what they're saying happened to the Han Solo story. I think that's just I think it's Star Wars fatigue.
No.
I think a lot of people think that's Star Wars fatigue. But that's what they're blaming it, is that Han Solo came out when all this other stuff was out in the summer, whereas most of the Star Wars stuff as of recently has been in the winter. Anyway, I don't want to change this into a different argument. There is a little bit of truth to that. However, this is why movies are unafraid to change their release dates. So again, Mark, just remember, your bosses sold your game out to keep the investors happy. So just... You better hope
Anthem does well, or else they're going to sell out your company, too. You know, close it down like all the other ones.
Ugh. Anyway.
But seriously, the complaint wasn't because of the RPG elements. The complaint was, this looks like an unfinished rush job of a game, is what the complaint was.
Kaijudo in chat asks a great question, honestly. So what was wrong with the game, and why did it feel rushed? Bugs? Like the faces spinning all around and all this stuff. I think also the story felt kind of like, and we know now with after all this like Mass Effect development stuff that they had kind of this one thing in mind. The story felt a little bit like undone. And I understand that they want to keep the door open for DLC and all this
stuff.
But
then they canceled the DLC.
They canceled the DLC. But the story just kind of feels a little half-baked. Like, it's like, we got from point A to point B, but we didn't really have that same meat and potatoes, that flesh around it that we had in the original Mass Effect trilogy. You go play, like, Mass Effect 2 and 3, especially 2, it doesn't get better. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. Then go play Mass Effect 2 and look at what a meaty fucking game that is. And even though it has its own share of minor bugs, at the end of the day, you don't care because it's kind of a meaty game. And then put it side by side like something like Mass Effect Andromeda, which feels kind of like there's a story there, but it's a little diet. It's caffeine-free Coke Zero of Mass Effect. That's what it is, Loki.
The worst possible thing. I mean,
well, it's still Coke, but it's
caffeine. Barely.
It's caffeine-free and sugar-free.
It's a husk of Coke.
This once was Coke. There was a Coke here. Now it's gone.
They've removed all the Coke.
Anyway. Dungeon Buster in chat says, I played the games he mentioned. None of them were as unpolished as Andromeda. Act Deft says, it's the cheapest knockout brand of Coke. It's Diet Shasta. That's what it actually, that's got to be a regional thing, right? Because Shasta's a mountain range here. For those of you in NorCal, it's Diet Shasta. That's what it is. Or what's the brand they sell at Walmart? Is that the brand they sell at Walmart? What's the
brand?
They
don't sell Shasta. They sell
their own in-house brand that's fucking terrible. I don't remember the name of it. But it's that. It's Archer Farms. That's Target's brand, right? Anyway. All right. I've had enough. We're done talking about Mass Effect Andromeda because I swear to God these stories just get dropped in my... I think Dark Tetsuya posts them just because he knows it's going to get me riled up. Let's move on. You want to do this next story that we had for Jamie? But she
sure, we can talk about this. So there's apparently there's been a couple more Atari prototypes that have been discovered.
Sam's Choice. It is a choice, ladies and gentlemen. If you buy that, that's a choice. Choices.
So there's been some prototypes and unreleased video games from Atari that they have discovered. I guess these last two were uncovered by Scott of the Atari Games Museum. So the first one is a game called Star Trap, which was designed around 1980 to 1982. And apparently, it says the source code lacked the character ROMs to complete the appearance, but apparently you see like some collision boxes and stuff, so it's very basic. And then there's another game. It was called Space Storms. They said it was designed as a variation of Avalanche, which became Kaboom. So that one, you have, asteroids or comets that were falling down from the screen and a few energy shields placed in front of you to absorb them. And as you play the game, the play area narrows. I don't know. These games look basic.
I'm kind of surprised Atari hasn't found a way to re-release these somehow in one of their multitude of collections.
Well,
I don't
they
know.
Have a new console coming out, and they need crap for that. So
there you go. Yeah. Who knows? All right. You got one more story, Loki, and I've got one more, and then we're going to get to the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. If you want to get me going on BioWare again, or if there's something else more pleasant you want to discuss. Maybe you want to talk about Intellivision or something.
So this is funny because there's literally no meat to this story whatsoever, but I'll mention it anyways. So I literally couldn't remember that this was even coming out until I saw this.
That's why I put it on the show roll.
Exactly.
Because
Remember that thing. Yeah.
That is the
thing. So apparently, in case you didn't remember, because it wasn't mentioned at E3 at all, Dead Island 2 is a thing. And apparently, according to the Dead Island Twitter,
they announced that at the last E3 I went to, because we went to that was one of the last closed door things I ever did at an E3.
I remember the trailer, but that was a long ass time ago. And it looked pretty good, but I mean, that's a trailer that's based off of CG animation and not necessarily gameplay. But it looked neat, I guess. But yeah, it's still in development, and they'll share more later. So there you have it. That's all the news.
Okay, everybody. I got a quick I'm too lazy to bring up the official VOG poll, so I'm going to just take a quick chat poll. What will we get first? The new Intellivision or Dead Island 2? What's going to be first?
Dead Island 2 will probably get canceled.
Dead Island 2 is going to be first, you say?
I think it'll be canceled.
Oh, you think it's going to be straight up canceled? You don't think Dead Island 2 is dead on arrival, is what you're saying?
I think it'll be a couple more years. I don't know.
I actually would disagree, and I say Dead Island 2 will finally make it here holiday 2019, and it will beat the Intellivision.
Probably.
All right. Oh, but I'm outvoted by our chat room. We've got several votes for Intellivision in our chat so far. So, all right. Anyway, thank you for humoring me. All right, one more story for you guys that has to do with Mega Man. Why do we end on a positive note here? Everybody loves Mega Man. Although, honestly, I tried doing a stream this week of the Mega Man collection. Dear God, I'm garbage at Mega Man. How was it that I used to be so much better at Mega Man?
Game Genie.
Fucking A. No, I never had a Game Genie. I was more skilled when I was 12. Anyway,
Got to get good.
There is a Mega Man 30th anniversary PlayStation 4 bundle coming out in Japan with 19 games. That's right. Rockman 11, Rockman Classics Collection 1, 2, Rockman X Anniversary Collection 1 and 2, several bonuses, 4 themes, alternate music DLC, 19 games, 13,990 yen. That is roughly $126 for all the Mega Man you could fit on a PlayStation. That is Mega Man 11.
Mega Collection.
And like every Mega Man collection known to man. There it is. Although no word about a actual PlayStation 4 that looks like Mega Man. Like, I'm kind of surprised they're not doing that opportunity because in Japan,
or like they could do
those.
Like an energy tank or something that's more square.
Oh, yeah. Like a $300 energy tank collectible. Why not? All right.
They had a case that was an energy tank one time, I think.
Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. The Skype line is open. Wow, we fucking ran through part B tonight. I think it's going to end up being a shorter show tonight, but I guess shorter news week means shorter show. I don't know. Anyway, Dark Tetsuya in chat says, E-Tank themed? Yeah, sure. All right, anyway, we have a call coming in. Let's get to it. Hello, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is ActDef.
Hey, buddy. How are you doing, ActDef?
Pretty much great, though. The heat here is, like, crazy.
Yeah, you know, I hear that most of the country is under a pretty bad heat wave, which, you know, extends into parts of Canada and Mexico, our neighbors, obviously. It's hot here in Sac, but not as hot as it, like, usually is in July. Like, we were outside doing Pokemon Go Community Day today, and I think the high was expected to be, like, 96, 97.
Yeah.
But this time of year, we're usually looking at, like, 105. So I'll take it.
No, yeah, we were at 105 here.
No,
so
thanks.
Yeah. This past weekend of Pokemon Go was, like, really crazy for me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very exhausted, but it was worth it. I had really way too much fun.
Did you get shiny?
I'm going to talk about it because it's been 2 years since the game launched, and I actually want to hear your opinions on how the game has evolved that much in this past 2 years.
You know, I think especially in the last year, the game has evolved even so much more than it did in the first year, and it almost kind of lends credit to some of the excuses Niantic was laying down when the game first launched about all the troubles they were having, is that they really, for whatever ridiculous reason, weren't prepared for the number of people that were going to jump onto this game. Although, you know, again, I'm kind of like, dude, it's Pokemon, it's a cell phone free game. Like, of course a ton of people were going to download it, but I don't know. Like, I can say that, and then even still, like, looking at Capitol, when I was down at the Capitol today, and this is just one of many places in Sacramento people play. Down here at the Capitol, Sac State is a huge bed for people.
I saw a big group, like, during that whole the Saturday thing. I saw a big group of people mm-hmm. going down in Old Folsom.
Yeah, well, yeah, Old Folsom had a lot, but the Folsom Palladio is a big event for the big shopping center there. The Palladio is a bit, it's like an outdoor mall. They have a big presence on these community days and so forth. So, I mean, like, there's just tons of people that were out. And so, like, you know, again, I laugh every time I hear Pokemon Go is a dead game. To be fair, I'm not really hearing that anymore. I was hearing that more like 6 months ago, but now that the game has trading, now that there are facts to back up that Pokemon Go is doing better financially than it has been in a long time.
And definitely the gifts yep. and stuff has gotten me to try to get
yeah.
out there more because I feel obligated.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Like
I know some people are getting really frustrated at that, though, like the feel that you have to get out there and give out gifts. But I'm just up front with people. I'm just like, yo, I try my best to get out gifts every day. But like, if you don't live near me, then I'm probably not going to, you know, try to increase my friendship as quickly with you because we're not going to raid together. Now, ActDef, in your case, you get a buy a lot of the time. I do open a lot of your gifts, but you know why I open a lot of your gifts, right?
Yeah.
Because they're from Mexico. And so there's that distance that comes into play. And the fact that the eggs, you know, it's kind of cool. Like, honestly, my favorite Alolan Pokemon is from one of my buddies on Twitter who lives in Hawaii outside Honolulu. And he sent me an egg from some type of Pokestop there. And I got an Alolan Vulpix from Hawaii. And that's just neat. I like that. I think that's so cool. So, but anyway, I don't know if I even answered your question whatsoever, ActDef, but I mean, how was your experience this past weekend? And did you get a shiny Articuno? Because if you did, I'm hanging up on you.
No, I sadly didn't.
Okay, I didn't either. So.
I didn't get any Articunos.
We're in the sad club to get. Oh, I caught plenty of fucking Articunos. I did. I was one of those people walking around the street, but so one of my buddies swears by this because they always raid on lunch. There's a corporate park in Rancho Cordova with all these like corporations, and so I don't really ever go over there. But like we walked from business to business where there's all these gyms, and we did like eight, and then I had to go because I had a rehearsal. But I did 8 Articuno raids and probably caught 6 of the 8 Articunos, but no shinies.
Huh?
Yeah, but like Articuno wasn't really the raid boss I needed because like. We had Articuno a year ago when raids first launched. We had Articuno out of the boxes. So it's like I didn't fucking need Articunos. It was all about the shinies. And even the way there was – I kid you not, there was 70 people that showed up over at ITT where the meeting spot was. So they were like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're not going to care about color today because we know you're all here for shinies, right? And everybody's like, yeah, shinies. So it's like nobody was there to get the Articuno. Everybody just wanted shinies. So they're like, color doesn't matter. Because if you get a shiny, then it's a guaranteed catch. So you don't need 14 balls to catch a shiny Articuno, right? Mm-hmm. So they're like, color yeah. doesn't matter. Just split up with people that you want to raid with today. Have between 6 to 10 people. If you are having problems finding a group, come over here to get matched. Like, I got to say, the way they ran it was really efficient. Because they were just like, your team doesn't fucking matter today. None of it matters. Raid with your friends to increase your friendship bonuses and just do it that way. And it actually worked out really well.
Oh, raiding increases your friendship bonus
yeah,
also?
Because it's considered an activity that you did with somebody for the day. But if you already traded gifts with that person today, then the raid doesn't count.
Oh, that sucks.
But you still get your – you mean you get the bonus ball. You get the bonus to attack. You get the little things.
Yeah.
So anyway, I keep talking, ActDef. You're the guest. How was your experience with Pokemon Go this weekend?
Again, it was actually pretty fun to do. Again, exhausting because the weather here is like really extremely hot. So we were, I actually, with my local Mystic group, we pretty much planned out how we were going, where we're going to go, exactly what route we were taking and all that stuff because we don't have that many like Pokestops or gyms like near each other. But yesterday was like really fantastic, and like you were saying, even like we were all Mystics. We had some red people, also like yellow Mystic and Valor with us, and they were playing too with us. And exactly because we all wanted a shiny, even though not many people got it. But I do with the group I was in, at least 2 or 3 people got a shiny. So. At least I'm like happy with that, even though I didn't get a shiny myself.
Yeah,
and but for me, it was good to see people getting one.
For me, yeah, I saw people get the shiny Articuno, so I know they weren't lies, contrary to what SJ100Matt is saying in chat. But what was a little bit frustrating was that one guy got 3 of them in a row, and it's wow. like you want to be happy, but at the same
it's
time,
like I fucking hate you, man.
At the same time, you're like, why can't that be me?
Now, when you trade a shiny, is it come over as a shiny?
Yes. So he could trade. He'll trade them up. He's going to trade them to people. Like, I didn't really know this guy. He's going to trade them to his friends, as he should. But I was very happy with the amount of XP because if you pop a lucky egg and you have the double XP bonus going on right now, anyways, 40,000 XP a raid. I hit 38 today, thanks in large part to all the raiding yesterday. It was like 400,000 XP yesterday and another 400,000 today. It was nuts. But anyway, where I was going with that is that what I really liked that they did today with the community event is for the first time, certain Pokestops, when you spun them, during the community day, every Pokestop gives you a quest, catch 5, whatever the monster today is. So today it was Squirtle. But certain Pokestops today, if you caught, they were all the Squirtle squad. That's how you got the Squirtles with the wrongly shaped sunglasses in the game. Is that you would get those from the Pokestop. However, certain Pokestops would actually give you the shiny Squirtle squad. But here's the part that was pretty cool. Unlike the way they usually do shinies, where if you tap on one and I tap on one, you might get a shiny, but I probably won't. because the shiny is per person. The way the Pokestops worked is if you could figure out which Pokestop gave you a quest for the shiny, everybody who hit that node would get the shiny quest. But you wouldn't know it was shiny because it was still called Evolve 5 Squirtles. So you had to share information. And that made today way more awesome than any other community day.
Yeah.
Because we were able to find out, our little group found out, that there was a stop that's kind of on the edge of the Capitol building. It's not – you have to walk off the path to get to it. It was called – and I remember the name because you can't forget this name. It was called Senator Capitol Kitty because it was a, it's a little gravestone for a cat – who used to hang out around the Capitol building. Okay, that's the marker. But that stop was a shiny Squirtle. So we would find, and the families, and we would overhear the kids going, I want the shiny Squirtle Squad. So I actually, there was, I distinctly remember two instances. I looked at the parents. I said, go over there to the corner. There's a stop called Senator Capitol Kitty. Spin that stop. It has the quest for the shiny. And they'd be like, oh my God, thank you so much. And like being able to like share that information.
So was it a different version of the Squirtle with the glasses?
It was just shiny. So it was the light blue with the glasses. That's all. All the glasses were. It was the same fucking Pikachu glasses, but they put it on Squirtle. Even though in the anime they were like a triangular.
I just think like the shinies, like they kind of like half assed. It's like, okay, we're gonna make this one slightly darker. It's like, okay, come on.
Well, to be fair, they're copying what the original Game Boy games did, so I'm not going to fault Niantic for that. They're only copying what was already given to them. So they are not setting the rules of that. Anyway, my point with that 10-minute long story was that how badass would that have been if there was Pokestops yesterday that would give you a quest that was collect 5 Articuno and you'll get a shiny. That's how I wish they would have done it. But I understand they want to make shinies special. So I get that they don't want to hand them out like candy. But they've got to find a balance here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like there was too many shiny Ho-Ohs. Like everybody fucking got one. Except me because I didn't raid enough. But that's my own fault because I didn't raid enough. So everybody got a fucking shiny Ho-Oh. But nobody fucking got that Articuno except that dude who got 3 of them in a row.
And I think it isn't that bad, but at least with this Articuno Vey yesterday, it was like really off because even like with the other legendaries that have been shiny like Lugia, Kyogre, I have gotten shinies of that of those. The only one it was Ho-Oh, but yeah, again it was like I didn't do that many raids. But yesterday, I kind of expected because I at least did 18 raids.
Whew.
And I didn't get one.
I have a feeling this is not going to be. I think this raid day was an experiment, and we're going to see it again. But I know, I guarantee it. I will bet money we're going to see it again because this whole event was unlocked. I use my quotey fingers because when Niantic unlocks stuff in Pokemon Go, it's like we were going to do it anyway. We're just setting some arbitrary fucking goal we know you're going to hit. So this all tied into the Germany Floral Garden event, right? So they caught so many things and so – or something. I don't know. But it tied into that event, right? So we all got Articunos, right? Well, Pokemon Go Fest is next weekend. So what do you want to bet? If we do all the awards that tie into Pokemon Go Fest, we're going to get Moltres Rating Day. And then they have the Japanese event is last, and that will be Zapdos Rating Day. Okay, so we're going to get 2 more rating days. I guarantee it for shiny Moltres and shiny Zapdos. Although, did you know there's a bug where they used the shiny colors for regular Zapdos? So everybody who has a Zapdos has a shiny Zapdos. So I think they're going to end up flipping it. So I think shiny Zapdos is actually going to be regular Zapdos. Anyway, this, I'm getting into super nerdy chat. How many of y'all miss Pokestop Podcast? Anyway, so.
I do.
I know. What was I going to say? So we'll have those events. But I would bet in the future there's going to be, like, I think it would be awesome if they just did, like, a 3-hour day where they're like, every fucking gym is going to light up with some legendary. Have fun.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
And then you have to
find
out.
Chaotic, but awesome.
Like, where's the fucking Zapdos? Where's the Lugia? Where's the Kyogre? And, like, people can kind of pick and choose what they want to do. I think that would be awesome. Here's the drawback, though. And I don't want to spend forever talking about Pokemon Go, but since this was a shorter show tonight anyway, we'll deep dive on a few subjects. The thing is, though, with that, is that I kind of didn't like how it was 3 hours yesterday and 3 hours today. So, and maybe just because it's July and it's fucking hot, but I think I would like to see it maybe like spread out a little more. Well, either the whole day so I could pick and choose my hours a little better, or at least do like raid day, week off, community day, week off, raid day, like mix it up a little more. I mean, this weekend was fine because it was the first time, but I hope it's not a fucking crazy ass weekend. Like a lot this summer, if that makes sense.
Maybe they can do except like a community day, a community week, and yeah. They can be like the other events they have done, like the adventure one, the fire one, the water one.
Supposedly
they have expanded in that. You can get shinies from those, but at least not like today that you can get shinies more frequently, but. At least expand it a little more because, yeah, at least in here with where I live, again, it's like really, really hot. I only lasted 1 hour outside because we really didn't want to expose ourselves to the heat because sure. It can get really, really bad.
Yeah, your health is most important. No, don't risk that for a video game. But I was going to say that Roslia thing they just did, again, as a spinoff of the event that happened in Germany. I was being told that those Roslia shinies were like candy. I didn't get one, so
yeah.
I don't
Yeah,
believe
I caught
it.
A ton of them, and not a single one was a shiny.
So
I actually got two.
Well, lucky you. But anyway, yeah, so I don't know. I didn't see a Roslia shiny, so, you know, confirmation bias, I guess. But anyway. Anyway, we spent 15 minutes talking about Pokemon Go, but I loved it because it's been a lot of people are getting back into it right now. You know, it's the part, the trading, yeah. The friends list, the gifts. I love seeing, maybe this is part of the Ingress nerd in me. I love seeing the stops in other places, and I go out of my way to send funny places to my friends list when I can. Like the other day, I was walking around at Fairy Tale Town because you know over down.
Yes,
in Sussex,
I remember the one you get.
Right, so what? I probably sent you the shoe or the cheese or like so like all.
He sent
the,
me something. I remember Fairy Tale Town. Like, wait, he's down by Fairy Tale Town.
Yeah, no, I was because it's not without giving away my entire life. It's not far from blank, and I tend to walk around there because there's a lot of Pokestops, and it's usually a farm of some sort. I think it's a Wingull nest or whatever. But then now I'm like, oh, the Pokestops here are really funny too, where I can send people like Grandma's Shoe, the cheese, Jack and the Beanstalk, and like all the crazy shit that's around Fairy Tale Town. Like, I like that stuff. So, anyway. But I also like seeing the stuff like, you know, all these things like that ActDef sends me from Mexico. I have friends in Toronto and Ottawa that send me stuff. I like seeing the stuff in Hawaii. Like, I just it's cool. Like, I don't know. It's really cool. Like, and it's something we don't really get to see in Ingress. Like, you might see keys get brought to you from some remote portal far away, but you usually get keys to portals that are remote and far away. You don't get the keys that people walk by in their everyday life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you can't really do anything with those either.
Yeah. Well, I mean, unless you're part of like a giant operation that you're going to throw to this lighthouse that's on the coast and that's how we're going to field over the entire state, you know, things like that. It's very different. Very, very different. Anyway.
I actually also like receiving like gifts from you, Rob, from you, Loki. Also from Matt, Joe Dia, and other people from Bach, also because it's like an interesting place to see, and that's also why I also like send you gifts to any of you, and try to like mix it up because I do have my like route and all that stuff, but if I can like go to other places and find other Pokestops with gifts, I try to send those.
Yeah, for sure. And I know when I travel, I'm going to be trying to spend as many Pokestops as possible and try to send people. Like, when I go to Dragon Con, y'all are going to get the what is that one that's right in the middle? The view from the 34th floor of the Hyatt, or the view of the 34th floor of the Marriott, or whatever that one's called, where it's basically, I don't know how this became, it was a portal in Ingress, obviously. Somebody took a picture from the top floor of the hotel down to the ground, and that became a stop. So I'm going to, my goal is to send my entire friends list the view from the 34th floor.
I will be looking forward to it.
No, what sucks is it doesn't save those that you get.
I would love if you had like a map, because you get the maps or the badges, and I love that. A lot of people don't know this. If you didn't know this about Pokemon Go, check this out now, okay? Open up your game, and in the bottom left-hand corner, tap your trainer profile, and make sure you go to the Me page. So you're not on the Friends page. Go to the Me page, and down where your gym badges are, hit the button that will show you all your gym badges. So not just the six. Hit the one that shows you more. And then when you're looking at all your gym badges, in the lower left-hand corner is a little picture of a map. You tap the map, and it actually shows you a map of the world. It's a very crude, pixelated map. But you can actually see, like, where all your gym badges are from. So I'm actually opening up my game right now, if it'll load. I had it up a minute ago. So I'm actually going in right now, even though my game is running so slow because I've used my phone to death today. And I'm going into my list, and I'm looking at the map. And so I can tell you, I have 663 gym badges.
This doesn't really, it's all green. I can't see any.
514 from this area, 43 in Seattle, 60 in Chicago, and 8 at the Atlanta airport. Because for some reason it's separating there. And how many do I have in downtown and surrounding area Atlanta? About 37. So 37 in Atlanta, but 9 by the nine more by the airport. So I love that because it's like a record of my travels. It's really cool. Anyway. All right, ActF, my friend. I'm going to let you go so we can try to squeeze in more calls. But I love talking about Pokemon Go. So thanks for the call.
Hey, no problem. And thanks for all this. It's like a small Pokestop podcast revival.
It was a little bit. I almost wonder if I couldn't get Shane to do another show because he actually plays the game now. He just, the little brat would sit there and talk about, oh, he got 2 shinies on Articuno day and he got like 4 more today. I don't know. God, he sold his soul to the devil for a shiny or something. I don't know. All right. Anyway, take care, my friend.
You too.
All right. Bye. That was a long call, but that's okay. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to get through. I'm going to ask this, already knowing the answer, but I'm going to try anyway. Do you have any last-minute stories?
No.
I have to ask. All right, let's take another call here real quick. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, Rob, this is Raging Eater.
Hey, what's on your mind, buddy?
No, a whole lot. Well, I wanted to bring up a topic that you had mentioned during your call, Black Wolf, at the end of his show.
Okay.
One thing, if I remember right, you had mentioned the whole Twitch Prime thing and the games they give you with that.
Yes. So Twitch Prime, and especially this month, they're really stepping it up to try to bring attention to
it's
it.
It's for Prime Day, yeah.
Yeah, they're giving away free games, but I think it's a very short window. Like a 3-day window for the games or something like that. So if you didn't already grab Pillars of Eternity, I think the opportunity is closed because I think that was one of the first ones they did. Don't quote me on that, but I feel like they're all like varying lengths. It probably just depends on the game. But anyway, every day there's a few new ones up there. Now, you have to have Twitch's client to install these games. So they're not Steam codes. They're not GOG codes. They're Twitch client codes. So is Twitch trying to push maybe a storefront? Well, I mean, Twitch and Amazon are married, so it would make sense that that's the direction they're going. You may or may not recall, Twitch purchased a company called Curse that was doing clients that really worked on managing your WoW add-ons and some of your add-ons for things like Minecraft and some of the other games that had a lot of add-ons. So the evolution of this client, because it still does all that, is the Twitch client. So now the Twitch client also, I think you can buy games through it, but the interface, It leaves a little bit to be desired because it's very clear it wasn't starting as a store. I think all it does is kicks you to the web. So anyway, so you do have to use Twitch's client to install the games and then ultimately play them. But free is free, I guess, right? So anyway, there's a little background. Yes, Twitch is doing their giveaways.
Now, before I get into the actual question itself, a little background information. Granted, you already know this, but maybe some listeners that may be catching this on the podcast feed might not know. I'm really heavy into PC gaming. I'm on Steam, I'm on Origin, Uplay, and GOG. And it's no state secret that I am into deals. However, I do not have Amazon Prime or Twitch Prime. Mainly because, money's a bit of at a premium for me, so it's kind of hard for me to afford stuff.
Well, yeah, Amazon Prime's, what, $119 a year or something like that?
Or
now?
You can do it monthly. I'm actually paying for it monthly. It's $12.95 a month.
All right, but still, yeah. I mean, that is a luxury. That's something everybody, if you're living on a budget or whatever, that's not exactly, you have to make choices. You might be able to pay that $13 a month, but you're going to have to cut something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's an MMO subscription or whatever. So, not everybody can just drop that money. It is, I guess, a luxury, if you will.
Yeah, honestly, the only monthly bill, if you want to call it such, that I pay is the $10 a month for Xbox Live, because I still have 360, but that's about it. Now, all that being said, considering that I'm on these other services and all that, would you recommend that I plunk down however much Twitch Prime is to get these free games that they're giving out?
I'm quiet because I'm thinking. I'm going to say no. And the reason why I say no is because if the gaming is the only reason you're getting into it, especially when you don't have a lot of control over the games they're giving away. I mean, granted, they do give away a few big ones here and there, like the Steam World Dig 2 they did recently, Pillars of Eternity. But there's a lot of smaller indie titles. Not that those titles are bad, but they're just probably not the stuff that you're really, seeking out or what have you. But here's the thing to consider, and I think what might sway your decision one way or another. Remember that your Prime is going to be more stuff than just the Amazon Prime. And again, I fucking hate that I'm being a commercial for Amazon when they're not getting us money, but... but I am telling this person maybe don't get Prime. So, but anyway, you might want to weigh, would you use the other stuff? Do you ever buy stuff from Amazon that you might want to get shipped for free 2 days? Do you have interest in the, maybe if you were willing to get rid of Netflix to pay for Amazon Prime? I mean, I don't even know if you have Netflix.
2 days or less, too, because, I had something that I shipped that day. It didn't arrive that day.
Yeah. But there's also the Amazon streaming and the TV stuff. If you think you would use some of that too, then I think that sweetens the pot a lot. But if you're doing it only for the games, I don't know if I can heartily recommend it, especially if you are someone who's savvy to getting free games somewhere else. I mean, are you going to play the free games or are you just trying to build your catalog?
If you're not really going to play the games. No, I very rarely order anything online, be it through Amazon or Newark or wherever. Maybe if I'm lucky, I might order something maybe once a year. A couple months ago, I ordered a new video card. But that's probably it. And I already have cable TV. I'm thinking of axing it, but even if I do ax that, I get free videos through iTunes on a regular basis. They give away TV episodes left and right. So it's not exactly like I'm hurting for content. So it's kind of hard to justify Prime for that. Sure, it's probably nice, but for that alone, I don't see myself getting Prime for that. Oh, you were about to say something before I piped up?
I think at the end of the day, my real answer is this really is your decision to make and yours alone. And, I'm not one to tell people how to spend their money. But just, knowing what I know from your calls to the show and so forth, and the fact that, you've said on the show before, you have a strict budget that you have to adhere to and all that stuff. I don't know if it's really worth it in your case. If you come into a little extra money, you're able to treat yourself to something for Christmas, maybe it'd be a nice little bonus gift. Maybe that's where I'd put it for you. Put it on your gift list, your wish list, but I don't think you'd make it a priority.
Yeah. The thing is, not to get into TMI, but I live on Social Security Disability.
Sure.
And my monthly checks are just barely shy of $850 a month. And roughly two-thirds of that alone goes towards my rant. That's not even getting to my Spectrum bill and the money that I need to spend on, let's say, household supplies personal hygiene supplies, so on and so forth.
And the only reason I let you share all that is because I know you're not alone in having that be, you know, what you, the cards that you have to deal with. And being a gamer, I know you're not alone in that. Somebody else out there listening is in a similar boat. I know it. You know.
Yeah, that's a large factor in why I'm always trying to promote deals, you know. I'm probably a little more hard up in terms of finances than the average, but, you know, not everyone out there is going to be rich and making, like, five or six figure salaries through the job. So.
Sure. And you know what, at the end of the day, I'm gonna leave you with this. You know, at the end of the day, if you want more free games to play and you're not getting them on the Steam and the other deals and so forth, you know what? Itch.io is a great playground. Yeah, it's a lot of indie games and it's a lot of stuff you may have never heard of, but you know what? Minecraft was an indie game at 1.2. So the next great thing is out there somewhere. You just got to find it. And sadly, great games sometimes don't get found. Like, I don't think YYR's super multitasking is selling through the roof. I'm not seeing it on the Steam leaderboards. I'm telling you guys, it's a damn shame because that game is fucking awesome. And you know I've been promoting it. But it just sometimes figuring out what's going to go viral in the gaming scene, it can be so hit and miss. All right, Ragenator, I'm going to let you go. But thank you so much for the call.
Sure. Have a nice night.
Yep, you too. Bye-bye. Let's see if we get any more calls. I'll take one more. I know the call's been going a little long tonight, but since we finished news like really fucking early, why not let the calls go on a little long? So I'll see if we can squeeze in one more call, and then we'll call it a night. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. Sia Tabiri in chat says, it's not for everyone. If you'll use it, then it's great. Mm-hmm. Dungeon Buster points out on itch.io. Itch.io has some great gems. You might have to dig through a lot of other stuff to find what interests you. But it can be worth it. You know, another thing you could always do, since this whole conversation started around Twitch anyway, you know, watch people play some games. That's something you can do for free. Now, look, I don't want to, you know, devalue games by, you know, go spoil yourself on the story by watching the game. But the fact of the matter is, you know what? If you can get a lot of entertainment out of watching somebody play the game too and being a part of communities and stuff on Twitch. You know, there's a lot of stuff. You know, I know Ragenator's a fan of the Final Fantasy series, Final Fantasy 11 and so forth. There's some great streamers for Final Fantasy 14 out there, as well as even Final Fantasy 11.
I found a Final Fantasy 11 live stream the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm like, people are still
playing
it.
Why am I watching this? No one's doing anything. We're waiting for a boat. I'm like, this is, like, why am I watching this?
Why not? All right, this is the actual last call for calls. Call now or forever hold your peace. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. But let me remind you guys, if you are listening on the podcast feed, which, you know, thanks for supporting OLR, no matter how you do it, if you're here live or you're here on the podcast, do remember you can always email us, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. You can also tweet us, twitter.com/OLR. I know I'm not very good about reading the tweets on the show, but I do read them on my phone. And if it's something that needs a reply, if you ask a question or something I should reply to, I do always try to reply. Loki and Dark Saga have access to it, but I think I'm the only one that actually replies to things on there. Usually if it's something addressed to Loki, I'll just tweet it at Loki and put, I don't know, at Loki OLR. So, all right. No other calls are coming in, so I think that is going to do it for a show tonight. But hey, thanks for listening to Orange Lounge Radio tonight. As we say at the end of every show, we appreciate you being here and listening to the show. If you enjoyed what you heard, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but only if the voices are here to put out over the air. So a nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes, Google Play Podcasts, or wherever it is you found this podcast, those go an awful long way. So please help us spread the word in those places as well. And that brings me to our final thoughts. Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is I'm hopefully going to play some of those games that are on that NES or the Super NES Classic Mini instead of just constantly trying to add more to it, because that's what I've been doing, is adding more to it and trying to get the Game Genie stuff to work, because you can add that support, but I have to run it through a different emulator on there through RetroArch. So I've just been doing that, but it's been fun.
All right, And then my final thought tonight is I really, you know, this is going to be a very crazy busy week with preparing for Clue because we have a photo shoot on Saturday and I feel like I'm only half ready, which is terrible. I am going to try to get some new gaming done this week, especially because I really want to get to the PlayStation VR because I want to fucking play Res VR like so bad. So
yes,
I want to
awesome.
Do that. I need to do that. And then the classic NES I got to get to as well, although I'm going to be getting to that, I know, a lot sooner than later, wink. So I'll leave it at that for now. But that's going to do it. Thank you guys so much for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. We'll be back in 7 days. It'll be a full work week, so maybe we'll get some more news this week. But in the meantime, happy gaming. And to those of you that are getting Octopath Traveler in the coming days, happy adventuring. You guys will have to tell me if it's as awesome as I think it might be. I think I am going to probably just pick it up anyway.
It looks good.
Yeah,
I like
RPGs well enough. So, anyway, that is going to do it, guys. We'll see you in 7 days. Have a great week, everybody. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.